The grant specifically for
June 2nd, 2011, Fitterway.
Not about all the other units on the river.
At some point, I will get those all on the web.
Everybody can relive these meetings.
What I'm going to do is put a change form together that seeks a change in operation of First Powerhouse, broadens the range.
Data. So you can lie.
That's right. They've learned. Don't argue with me about what you said because I have it recorded.
When we have questions at Second Powerhouse.
We can convert the voice recorder into a document. Like a court reporter down there.
5% TDG.
You're on everybody's team, though.
See, the rest is all over the 130.
I can't support that at all.
I can't support it.
Well, you know what? Everybody on the phone, though, said they were, that they concurred with Russ. I've got it in the notes. They said, we agree with 130, and I'm just like, oh my God.
Did I say that?
See, I'm going to force that.
I agree with the 130?
Yes.
No way.
You did.
I'm going to force you guys to put that in writing.
No way.
You didn't. You said, you wouldn't support it. Concerns about standard operating rules, better explanation of best geometry, endorse increasing range wind at high spill or at 130.
I thought I said 125.
Show up, so.
You said you thought it should be 125. Then, of course, Idaho chimed in and they said, no, it's got to be 130. And you said, okay, well, I'd support the 130.
Yeah, Tom,
I still don't really want to hear about the second. Anyway, I can't support the 130. I'm not going to.
Well, that's good.
Oh, that's right.
It's not.
10 o'clock Tom, obviously.
Well, it'd be nice to have some relief right now, all the way down. As we come back down off of this.
But we're at 120%, 28% of Wardale, which means the tail race of the spillway is probably 135.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to be implementing this right now.
Well, I thought
we were. But did you send me a signing sheet?
No, but we're not taking 20, it only takes 20K off.
You sent me a signing sheet.
I know. But it's doing what you can.
Maybe have football.
That's what I want to show. You know, we have a method available to us. We are using. That's why I said I'm going to raise this issue higher.
Nathan.
And all I'm looking for in this comments were directed as.
So I think they might want to be.
Some, a little bit of history as to where the 1% comes from, because so many people hold that sacrosanct. Well, where did it come from? How much standing does it really have? Yeah, the 1%. And why is this better?
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's always been that way, Dave.
I know it's always.
Well, I've always been here.
See what you've done here?
We've always done it that way.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what you say is written in stone tablets.
The history about the 1% is fine. I think we do have enough detail in there about the biological studies and meat studies that do support moving to that range.
I can go back into ancient history on 1%. That's okay. I know that.
I'm not looking for a dissertation. I was just looking for a paragraph.
No, I can do that. I can do that. That's easy.
I can write another paragraph.
Off the top of my head, I can do that.
It came about from this. It's much like the... 105. It was what we thought was best at the time. I understand that. No. And that's been documented. That's been documented and explained. I just need this explained so I can...
That was real documented. It was real Dolly and I talking on the telephone.
No, but we understood went through that in the...
well, in Oregon State.
The Oregon-Washington thing.
We
went through that.
We did go through that.
And that was important to go through at that time, and that's all I'm saying here. We just need to have this explained a little bit.
So can you take what we gave you, and do you need to run this up your chain for concurrence, or can you make a decision?
No, I need to. I was waiting for this redone one to take.
Oh, no, I guess they already went, didn't they?
Okay.
I'm going to give my recommendation, but I've got to check some boxes.
Okay, I'm working on a document, and I'll update it. Okay.
The thing that bothers me is it sounds like everybody said, well, if you can study it and show that there's a benefit, then we'll do it.
Yeah,
but everybody fully knows that there's no way you're going to study this in a way that is conclusive. It's very difficult.
What I wanted to do the other day was avoid saying don't do anything this year because we can't test it.
I don't have that.
What I thought we could come to was let's do it this year as an emergency operation. Let's not write it in stone into an FPP that's going to get rolled over and rolled over and rolled over yet. And then we can have a discussion. Can we do a test or not? Is it practical when we have more time?
Yeah, I don't think it is practical, but I do think that doing a test of the theory of 1% versus of lower end of 1%, the bottom end that we're all scared about, versus open geometry operation, I think that's something that we can test a difference. When you do ranges that overlap, I don't think you can do it.
Right, that's the theory
that this is a good place to be.
That's all we need to do is talk about it, and we can't do that test this year.
No, we're going to do it next year. But Brad scuttled this.
We got it in the TSP.
Well, I don't even know if we run it down that low later.
Sure we can. We can run.
We can have enough fish.
You have to release from the channel. See, that's what Brad's concerned about.
I didn't think we had enough time to really talk through it.
That's the song.
We would have to inject these fish.
We would have to have another meeting.
Okay.
Now it'd be tough.
I'm almost starting to look at meetings like little vacations compared to sitting at my desk and answering the damn phone.
Brad's drunk.
That's a good idea. Isn't that pathetic? I need some Kool-Aid.
Oregon issue no. up. The tribes will be here in about
just saw
an hour.
Nathan
I'm
going to
see 9:20.
How about you? 9:20? That's after 10.
Ten thirty.
He does have another thing he's doing at 9:00.
8:15.
8:15, he had a talk.
Yeah, more inside information.
He's had a talk down at the convention center with some major.
Ritwick put on a famous
the radio text.
Yeah. As the train went by, I tried to look for the marquee to see where it was.
The radio text study was
according to their literature.
Sure, released by on the trash tracks.
Yeah, and so they said that they included all stakeholders, I think, too.
The loon text study hiked all the way down in the intake.
No, he's got it, so he'll be here till
10. Okay. They're way down.
It's all being recorded.
We're going to have to get told sideways.
Let's go ahead. We'll go ahead and get started. People can filter in. Who's on the phone?
It's Jason Sweet. Gene Foskey's here. On Richards, Bonneville.
Natalie Richards, and I'll come down when it's my time.
Deb Ballas.
Given the number of chairs, that's probably good.
I know.
So that's on four.
Okay, we'll go around the room. There's a couple new people here that probably need some introduction. This is Brad Eppard, Portland District.
Tammy Mackey, Portland District.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Sandra Ruckman, Project Manager for Portland District.
Matt
Cutts,
Critical Infrastructure Program Manager for Portland.
We can't hear you.
Sorry, Critical Infrastructure Program Manager for Portland District.
Scott Fielding, Portland District.
Lori Abner, Portland District.
Trevor Thunder, NOAA.
John North, Portland District.
Dennis Schwartz, Portland District.
Gary Fredericks, NOAA.
Randy Lee, Portland.
Nathan Zorich, Portland District.
Okay. Oh, what did I do with my agenda? Did I not take one? I have an agenda, please. Action items from the last Fitterwig. Does anyone want an agenda that doesn't have one? Lori?
I have one.
Oh, okay.
Unless you changed it.
Nope.
You don't mail it to me, but I did get somebody else to.
Oh, geez. I'm going to bring that up.
Words.
So, action items from the last meeting. Dennis is going to resend the 30% alternatives report.
Already done.
Got it.
Okay. Sean held a I think he already did this already. Held a special fitter wig for the Dalles AWS in conjunction with the B2 FGE meeting. Mm-hmm. Yes. Done.
He already did the AWS. Yeah. He didn't do the FGE meeting.
The next one is a typo. I think that stuff's been settled. Clarkson gave me grief yesterday for having this on there. John Day North Ladder. Natalie was going to talk with Steve Schlenker and about what flows of ladder criteria will be violated with only four pumps. Did that get taken care of?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I sent that to you.
Yeah, I think you did. That was 2 months ago, Natalie. You can't expect me to remember that stuff.
Yeah, me neither.
And then John did, Skalski submitted and PNNL updated the proposal for the Lower Columbia River Survival Study based on the discussion there. So all those things done. So jump into the agenda. Our first topic is the Bonneville Spillway Rehab. Matt Cutts is the program manager for critical infrastructure, and he's going to discuss some of the issues with the Bonneville Spillway. So, Matt?
All right. Thanks very much for having me. And for those of you on the phone, I apologize that I don't have the handout for you. So Bonneville Spillway issues. The second slide there is an aerial view of the Stilling Basin and the apron. And it gives a little background. The Bonneville Dam was built in the late 30s. As you know, it has some failing and deteriorated features, especially erosion holes at bays 9, 12, and 14, and apron undercutting. The apron, when divers went down, divers went down and used a pole, a 25-foot pole, to probe and see how far the apron was undercut, and add 2 feet for the diver's arms. That's 27 feet. They didn't get to the back of the undercutting. So there's at least 27 feet of undercutting underneath. Right. Underneath the concrete apron, there's at least 27 feet of undercutting. Tom North did a structural analysis of that, and according to his calculations, if I understand correctly, that concrete apron should have already snapped. So we're expecting that to happen whenever.
Probably already happened. Where is this at? What part of it?
Bonneville, at the end of the apron.
3-4.
At the end of the apron, all the way across the
3-4,
spillway?
Three and four.
Actually, it's length. Closer. Yeah, bay 3.
Bay 3 and 4, so why would you expect it to snap if it's just if you're in a localized area?
It's unsupported. What's happened is that there's a diagonal bentonitic seam that runs along the river there.
That
material was eroded out. And every time that we have a high water event and we're spilling quite a bit of flow through there, then it undercuts more and more material out there.
So it's not supported with rebar and the other on either side. So it's
minimum.
It's just a
minimum.
There's some gap there that causes that to be hanging.
Right.
So yeah, you've got 250 kcfs flow going through the spillway right now. So
almost 300.
It's running at, you're right, it's 60% of 500. So,
yeah,
it's
between 290 and 300.
Yeah. So whatever's going on, it's going on. Big time right now.
Yeah.
Well, for a hydraulic lesson, it may actually be better right now than normal because we've got so much tailwater.
A lot of pressure on there, though. A lot of water on it.
It could be. It could exactly be causing what's failing. It could be with drain holes from the top to the bottom. It may be a whole lot worse.
You think you're in a better skim position? Or I don't know, actually.
But the fact that you've got an extra 20 feet of tailwater out there right now, your energy dissipation is occurring better than it does in the late summer when we spill 85. I don't know what's going on. I don't want to say it's worse. But hydraulically, it could be going any which direction, depending upon what the mechanism is that's causing the erosion, and we're not certain of that. So,
only because one thing also is that the Stilling Basin isn't redesigned as hydraulically as the Stilling Basin back when it was first designed back in the 30s.
The collector's on there now.
It was just poured on concrete, on rock, and the lengths and all that, with what we call now maybe a proper spilling basin. You know, according to today's standards, probably wasn't done back then, so we might be seeing stuff that's
really
Yes,
sir.
A couple of clarifying questions. What's the
depth of this?
I know it goes in over 27, but is it?
It's
it varies. It ranges from about 10 feet in depth at the very end of the lake, and then kind of slopes up, but then undulates as well.
So there's a 10-foot gap right there.
That's correct. And there's typically a till wall, at least a 10-foot deep till wall, that was originally cast when that apron was put in there. And that till wall is completely gone now. It's completely eroded away.
So your cut, you say you're thinking the cut's about 10 feet deep and 27 feet under the concrete?
10 feet max.
10 feet high.
Somewhere.
And it's got some width.
8, 10, 6, whatever.
And it's got some
width. It's got a big hole under there. It's sturgeon habitat.
Actually, the sturgeon love it.
We got video.
Nice.
So the erosion holes, how deeper those are?
Okay. Days 9, 12, and 14, those are erosion holes?
Yeah.
Okay, and day 9, that's the erosion hole that we're most concerned with, because the erosion hole at day 9 is directly over a gallery. Yeah. And the concrete was approximately 10 feet thick when it was first constructed. The erosion hole is about 5 feet deep the last time we checked it. And when that punches through, it's going to be a whole lot of water in places it shouldn't be.
Right. Yeah. When was it last checked?
2010.
When that punches through, okay, that's interesting. That means those towers and the spillway, the lower decks will be.
Well, the whole lower gallery, it'll go to tailwater. Yeah, the whole gallery will go to tailwater.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is unfortunate because there's a lot of stuff down there.
Is that an elevator shaft?
There's an elevator, there's sump pumps down there, there's sewage, there's everything.
Electrical.
There's an 8-inch pressurized sewer line
that's down there.
Plus, our other concern is that if that fails, there's a potential for a progressive failure mechanism to occur that could take out quite a bit more than what the immediate area is.
These 12 and 14 erosion holes are not right over a gallery, but I'm still concerned about that erosion.
And it's a rough surface, too. It's extremely rough surface.
You've probably got more, I don't know what's going on now, Lori, but if there's rocks and boulders down in there, they're going to be rocking and rolling right now.
Exactly.
It's definitely going to be an interesting year to see what happens in our steel basins up and down the system this year. Willamette, Columbia, Snake, you name it.
Okay, so what are the consequences of these issues? Well, continued erosion, as you just pointed out. Dam safety, potential dam safety issue. We can't maintain safe operations. And really, the reason that I'm here today is because when these things fail, we won't be able to maintain spill in accordance with the biop. That's why I'm here, talking about that. Slide 3 talks about spillway issues. Left-hand column is issues that need to be addressed in the major rehabilitation report that we've requested funding for in FY13, but that's a multi-year effort. We need to look at a bunch of issues with the spillway. Things that are not major rehab, wire ropes, we've requested funding for that in FY13. The concrete issues that I'm talking to you about today, Bay 9 and Stilling Basin Slab. And then spillway erosion plan, operation plan for when we punch through, and updating the water control manual. Those are all non-major rehab items that need to be addressed in the near term versus the long term. Slide 4 shows the bathymetry from June 2007. Got a small slide there so you can't see it real well, but somewhere towards the middle you can see Bay 9. That's where the 5-foot hole is, and then you can see some gray spots on Bays 12 and 14 over there to the right.
And I apologize, I'm completely confused looking at this thing. What happened?
Okay, so what this is an area.
Is this the concrete we're looking at here?
There you go.
There's a better picture. But this may orient you a little bit. This slide 4 and slide 2 are pretty much the same in that bay 1 is to the left,
okay.
Bay 18 is to the right. So we're looking at bays 1 to across the top of slide 4. You got bays 1, okay. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So about the middle, you see those gray spots.
That's on the spillway. That's where the hole is in Bay.
Okay.
And then as you move over,
Council and just stuff, and I couldn't. This is just the.
That's the symmetry of this. Okay. Still in base.
So this big gray swatch in here, or what is this? What is this?
Okay. So jump. Tom, is this the end of the apron?
Oh, sure.
No. I've got a really good picture.
I didn't mean to get this too.
This more or less shows the OG. Then there's apron. I think we did an apron survey that shows.
Okay, here's
the pinks and purples.
Here's a good ephemeral tree shot that gives you a good idea of what's going on there.
Okay, so this is part of the bottom of the still basin right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
this is something.
This is the same picture as this, pretty much.
Okay, so this is what's being undercut right here. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Right. Phase 3 and 4, that's where the undercut is.
But I mean, this is the end of the apron that we're talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. I'm just trying to get oriented and make sure what's
going
on.
Sure.
Okay.
What's the punchline?
Okay, punchline is in slide 5.
Thank you for your
sure. Matt, I want to clarify something you said that talked about the, you know, if failure occurs. The only. Before
when. Not if, when. It's
right, when. But we would only. In season, before. September 1st, we would really only know about the gallery, right? Yes. I mean, if the slab is collapsed, we won't know it until.
No, I believe. As soon as that, if that slab collapses at Bay 3 and 4, we're spilling. When it collapses hydraulically, we will know.
Okay.
Wait, you see something different.
Like now or with lower mounts of spill? I can see lower mounts.
Okay.
You've got
later this summer.
You know, right now, things are flying 40 feet in the air.
You're correct.
I may not be able to tell now, but I would definitely.
Unless it fell here.
Probably in August, the tailwater drops.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love
that. As soon as they're done in there, you guys can move. Probably 10:30 or 11.
Okay.
Okay, good.
All right, thank you.
So, is there a particular level of spill you think is causing more damage than others?
At the moment, based on survey results, we haven't seen a lot of change over time. So, it could be that the damage that we've seen, especially the erosion in the water on the OG surface and the concrete surface. Basically occurred a while ago and it stayed
under I won't
say that we know, but it's stable now.
Well, okay, let me rephrase the question. Do you think that lower spills cause less damage than higher spills, or do you think there's something, some synergistic oddball thing going on out there that's lower spills? 75K is the worst place you could possibly be, and you got to be at 140. Or is 140 worse than 75?
I think historically, from the modeling work that Randy and I looked at down there and working on this model, is that when we crown the pattern, I think this may be an artifact of an old crown pattern. Maybe.
But I don't think erosion downstream of the stilling basin is particularly an issue. The concrete erosion, I think, the velocity on an OG surface is pretty much the same whether you're spilling 5,000 CFS or 30,000 CFS.
It is, 70%.
So I think it's concrete and age, and we hit a bad pocket. We may have at various times gotten debris through there and hit it really hard with some debris that went through, but the velocity on an OG surface.
So there's nothing pulling up debris, stuff on the tail race that's getting this causative.
It's pretty isolated. It's not systematic.
Right, now you've got three areas.
So the holes, I think, we just need to monitor and deal with them.
What I'm trying to get at, is there an operational issue here that's any limitation of operation or...
I think the surface of the holes in the concrete are not things we would need to modify based on cue or spill pattern.
Okay.
I think they just need to be repaired.
Right.
Okay. The hole is a whole different issue in that undercut, and we don't know enough yet. Is it something that occurred in 1948?
Just as soon.
And we've just been living with it as we are at the depths. Is it just something that's been there in 1948?
No.
But we don't know.
We just discovered it.
We just discovered that we had the hole.
Okay, and then let's get on to what your actions are here.
Right. Okay, so slide 5 talks about the actions. There was a hydro survey done in 2010. I think some analysis remains to be done on that. We would also like to do a hydro survey this fiscal year. I discussed this with just last week with Mike and some other folks, and he's agreed to fund flow modeling and also to put together a contingency plan to tell folks that are operating the dam how to direct spill when we have failure from various failure mechanisms.
That'll be something that should go through FPOM.
Certainly, that's definitely on the next steps is to brief the FPOM.
And then we'll want to work with the general model in Mississippi.
Exactly.
They got bulldozed.
No, so, not the general model.
No,
it's the 155.
He just wanted to get that jab.
The one piece of information.
Still might want to use that model.
Not only do we have the spillway and egress conditions, we also need to be aware that if we really modify the patterns at Bonneville Spillway, will we be changing approach conditions for V2-V1?
Last time I saw that model, they were using it as a storage location for stuff.
They
actually bulldozed one of the walls in it.
Yes, they... Yeah.
Wait, the 155 model?
No.
Yeah, the 155, not the old, the one, the 100. That's
the one that we used. Before.
That's a parking lot now.
Okay, we were there in what? December?
December
was still okay.
They actually put taken part of the wall out.
No, December is okay.
Glenn said it was okay. We might have to do some baffled block repair.
Okay, yeah. Good. That was the spillway model then. Yeah. I think maybe it was the other second part of the house.
Yeah.
So, but we also got to be aware that if we start to have to bulk a pattern one way or the other,
we know what happens.
But we may also have an impact on the forebay side and may need to decision way the flow comes into this channel.
What effect on the forebay side?
You might have a change in how fish are approaching.
Sure. Well, I thought you meant structural.
No, just fish.
I know that.
So we might want to make sure we understand what kind of patterns look like both upstream and downstream.
I don't think you're going to see a lot of change in approach pattern.
We're going to have to do that with CFD, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We have to do that.
In fact, no, you're not going to see a difference. Because our efficiencies don't change.
Spill
efficiencies.
Still one.
Gene?
But the problem is you never bulk the pattern to the south or to the north.
No, not completely. If you're going to do a complete bulk, I would expect still it probably wouldn't change a lot. It seems to be correlated with very directly with the percentage of spill that we have.
Q.
Right.
And I think
percentage of total.
Randy, and just a quick history, Randy and I went down there in 2008 for this specific reason because we had issue back then about talking about gallery failure. So we went down there and we ran through a lot of these, what happens if you close 9, 14, and stuff like that. We came back, and there's a report, we came back, I mean, you know as well as I do, you close one bay, it screws up everything. We couldn't really come up with anything.
You have big eddies and the tail race.
Big eddies and all that kind of stuff.
You have gaps, all the things you try to get away from.
We're going
to
do diligence on this. We want to get the bathymetry information so we can modify the model accordingly so we can show what it looks like with those bays closed with maybe a failed stuff. So anyway, that's the, when Matt talks about the flow modeling accurately, we're going to physically go down there and we want to modify the model.
Okay.
And fail the slab, close the bays, do that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And that's the kind of stuff we want to see. So can we come up with some strategy? And you know as well as I do that we're going to come up with a strategy, but it's not going to be a very good one.
It's going to be as good as we can.
It's going to suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why Matt needs to know how hard to lean forward.
Well, I'm going to throw one thing out right now. That's the thing that's concerning me was that when we were developing the summer operations, we had a discussion of whether we would go with a 95 flat or with a 85 gas cap. Mm-hmm. And the 85 gas cap, I would assume, would probably cause some problems here. Not only for the hoists, which have to go up and down every day, but you're going to gas cap. In the summer, it can be 150K. So you're going from 85 to 150. seems to me, and I heard from the grapevine, of Cora was saying, well, we don't see any issues here with either one, so they don't care. But it sounds to me like you do care.
We might. That may be what's causing our problems, is that 150 with low tailwater may be creating higher energy underneath that apron and have caused it.
But I hope you guys come back to the 95 flat, which is what we've been trying to support. I thought the Corps was supporting that, at least for a while.
In the summer?
And then more recently, summer operations, more recently, that it's starting to fall apart, and you're saying, what I heard from the Corps was, well, we don't see any difference, so it doesn't really matter to us. And it was really surprised me, both from the wire rope, the hoist issues, and now from the erosion issues. You see, I see one, two, three reasons why you guys would support the 95 as well. So, you know, think about that.
Right now, the summer FOP is 75. If we were going to pull off the summer test, which we're not going to, that was an 85 gas cap test versus a, 100 flat or something like that?
Summer was 95.
95 flat. 95 flat versus the 85.
85.
And then
the fallback is 85, 100.
Right. Or one, then after you get out of this test period, then it reverts back to... Yes. What's currently in the FOP, which is the 75 gas cap.
At the end of the season, but not the beginning of the season, it's 85. So that's the new operations, 85 gas cap, up until the date, whatever that date was, end of July, I think.
20th or something like that.
We go to 75, which is stupid. But
right, we want you to say that again.
I'll say it over and over again, it's stupid. But that's what the FOP says, until we can actually get back to adaptive management instead of this stupid rollover crap. But, you know, we need to get, Corps needs to get on board with supporting the 95, if that's what you guys think is right. What I'm hearing, there's some reasons for that. And what I heard the other day was there was no reason for that. And that came from the Corps as well. So, what's the story?
Whatever it is, I mean, this is our form, so.
I know. From a technical standpoint, it seems to me that a flat spill pattern makes a lot more sense out there than to have
survival
every day, twice a day.
Well, could we have a flat spill pattern that didn't vary with forebay elevation? Then it would be really beneficial.
That didn't vary with forebay elevation?
Right.
Because the forebay in the summer doesn't change very much.
It changes a little bit.
Yeah, so, not. You're talking. Come on.
But the GDAX actually corrects the case.
Okay, we can work on that. That's crazy. Yeah, we can fix that.
I can show you the GDAX data where it's changing.
So we're talking flow, a steady flow level, and a steady gate.
That's fine.
Well, as long
we're
as
talking
the
a couple of KCFS.
I know, but the GDAX is a little overwired.
I agree with you, Laurie. Okay. Not running those gates up and down all the time. That's crazy. Yeah. That's what we're trying to get away from. Just set them, dog them, and be done with it.
Yeah.
Or at least let them hang. But
unless the pool really moves. Then you need to fix it.
They were built
it.
To be dogged.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So
right, they're built to be... The way we operate the spillway now is in half-foot increments.
I know.
The dogging mechanism, we're not set up, and that's why they hang on the wires. The dogging mechanisms are I have no idea who came up with dogs. Dogs are not equal measurements.
Yeah.
First dog, second dog, third dog, and pockets are all different opening sizes.
And it depends which gauge you have, too.
Yeah. So... That's why we currently don't dog them, because they don't match up with our...
If we had a constant pattern, though, then when we have 100 in the spring and 95 in the summer, if we had that, could you dog them?
I think that, and we talked about that in that analysis, Brad's white paper and stuff that about bottomless spillways. What's the most beneficial for the spillway? And yes, of course, it is having a flat pattern, being able to take the weight off those cables and dog them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If, that would be... if there was some concurrence with that, and you could stick with that type of operation, that needs to be part of the plan.
From the tribe standpoint, I saw something that the tribes put together, and they were supporting 95, or at least Quidjack was.
Mm-hmm.
We support it. So I don't know about service or any of the other fish agencies, but certainly... You've got some support.
Well, I'm personally leaning towards it. I don't know that we've had the full discussion even at that time.
Okay, I don't know about that, but from a NOAA standpoint, we are in support of it, for sure.
Okay, so slide 6 shows some budget actions. As I mentioned, we have some FY11 and 12 CRFM funding set up for flow modeling and contingency planning. I put in a budget request for FY13 for the major rehab report, which is a long-term look at spillway, what's going on up there. Includes everything on the spillway, the gates, the cranes, the hoists, the whole thing. And also in FY13, I have a request in for plans and specifications for spillway and apron repairs, and also the construction cost for those repairs.
Now, is everything CRFM?
No, the only thing that's CRFM is just the flow on the contingency plan. Okay. The FY13 budget request is O&M.
Okay.
Regular appropriated fund.
The one good thing is that, I don't mean to, I just wanted to follow up with, we do have plan and spec more or less in place and on the shelf ready for the OG repairs. Won't
no,
we?
No, we don't.
How far are we, through?
There's been some, we have a draft set of plans and specs, and there's money requested for FY13 to take those that draft
right
and get it ready to put on the string.
Yeah. We were to a draft stage when we were going to try to implement if we had money.
Yeah.
Funding got cut.
I mean, this has come up a couple times.
Yeah. So we're not having to start from square one on, but I think the slab we are.
That isn't the thing.
Okay.
And slab repairs is simple repair.
As long as it's still there.
As long as it's still there. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, I mean,
if it fails, then it's a really big deal.
Yeah. Well, you just pump hydraulic cement or something?
Pretty much.
Fill it up or rank.
But if it fails, it's Cofferdam City.
Yeah.
Oof.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Okay.
So, slide 7 shows next steps. So Lori, Dennis, Randy, Tom, and some other folks are going to collect and that flow modeling information and use that to draft a contingency plan. On my plate is to refine this brief with feedback from this group and others, and then present to the Portland District Corporate Board. I'm doing that next Friday, and then I'll need to run it by the corporate board and see if they want me to go present this information to Northwestern Division, to FPOM, to BPA, to other interested parties. Because I think it's a big deal, and I think it's great that we have CRFM funding available to do some modeling and contingency planning, but really what I want to happen is to get $10 million or whatever it's going to cost to fix it.
Right.
It's great to have a contingency plan.
O&M is the place. I mean, O&M, I think, is a mandatory stop. You know.
It's the next FPOM meeting, Tim.
Yeah, next week.
It's
next
Thursday.
Week.
Next Thursday.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we're able to bring it by next Thursday.
Yeah. I will just run that by my boss and make sure he's okay with me briefing FPOM next week.
Okay. Yeah.
Where is FPOM?
Yeah, it's over at our office. It's important. It's
slide 7.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll just run it by my boss, make sure it's okay with.
The problem is core. I mean, it's core.
Yeah, it's our.
It's
our
core.
Yeah. Great.
Core meeting.
This
is good. Yeah, it's a different focus. You know, this is. Yeah,
same.
So do we need to get on the schedule for? Model trips, start this contingency planning stuff? I don't
definitely. Here's where we are on that project. I've requested a tech lead from EC, and the money's already been set aside, some money for 11, some for 12. If anybody in this room has any pull with anybody in EC, and if you have a string, pull on it. The faster I get a tech lead on this project, the faster I can move forward with it. So maybe Mike can rattle somebody's chain, or you, Brad, I don't know.
Well, Brad, I mean, this is really, if this ends up in the middle of our research, then we have a mess here. So this is investigative.
I think the team and stuff, Randy, our thoughts on Lori, we want to do the survey as soon as the spillway's done. So as soon as we're done spilling, we'd like to get in there and do that survey.
What are you thinking?
September, first week of September.
At least, yeah, okay, not before. Okay.
No, and then we've got to have
it. That's how that is good.
Yeah. No. Yeah, unless you want us to close the spillway soon.
Then,
this is the sort of thing you coordinate with your
right. We have a letter already.
If you need to, it's just needs to be coordinated.
The other thing is, besides doing the hydro survey, there's some new technology we're going to try and get a better bill, 3D bill, underneath that hole. So we've got some thoughts, but we do want to tie this survey with the Dow survey.
Okay.
I don't know if any of you all saw just before the flows were really high. We have a really flaky flow thing going on at the downstream end of the wall. Just a heads up. So we're going to have a survey plan for that wall. We have that one scheduled. Let me rephrase that. We have a contract in the works to do that right after spill stop.
What are you seeing down there?
Just a weird hydraulic. Something that's changed.
I think we're sloughing off some of that soft stuff out there in that.
I don't know what we're doing. I mean, we did move back 17 feet just last year, the first year.
That, so, yeah, we may have. Okay, well, that needs to be done too.
So we've got that one. We're already planning on doing that one in that first week after spill.
Okay.
And then the plan would be to do the hydro survey, tie them together so it's one contract, two different funding streams, but one contract.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Just to wrap up and make sure I understand correctly.
Yeah.
So for the rest of this fiscal year and all of fiscal 12, it's going to be modeling and planning.
Maybe not all of 12, but certainly for the rest of 11 and part of 12, we're going to be doing the planning.
Okay.
Modeling and planning.
Yes. Okay. So 13 definitely then finish or complete any kind of rehab.
No.
Request
is in. For 13 funding.
Oh, it's just the request.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And it's likelihood of that being funded with O&M funding is extremely low. Unless somebody super important says, Corps of Engineers, you've got to fund this.
I'll call them.
So, thank
you, Brad. Thanks.
Part of the issue with the contingency plan, folks, and the reason why this group is going to be really important is we need to document the impact of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key impacts of failure
is
going to be the biological.
Or biological spill.
The impact of spill at this project. But we need to have concrete information that suggests how bad it might be. And then we need to work within this group to identify an impact.
Well, the first thing we need to do is start working with the model and look at further spill patterns, and then we're going to judge based on those what kind of mess we have.
But at what level of that spill pattern would be, too? I'm not real clear on what that's going to be, something much less than we're doing now?
Well, it may not be the amount of spill, it may be how we spill in terms of gates.
Okay. You
know, well, I think we're going to look at spill patterns probably up to what we consider normative spring spill conditions. I mean, we can take it way up.
The gates that are available.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to take it way up because we need to know we have a dam safety side of that.
Right. You have to spill a certain amount in case you have units down.
Right.
Well, or you have 500 KCFS river and it doesn't all fit.
Right. We lost the powerhouse today.
So, you mentioned earlier when this thing
collapsed. Like goose.
Depending on water level.
It happens.
Yeah. So if and when it happens, before you get to repair, there's no worry of accelerating some sort of.
That apron collapses, we will start to accelerate bad things.
But is that within this time frame here?
That's
that
a good thing.
Laid out here.
It could fail right. It could be failed today, and we could be accelerating the erosion and be getting back to the main dam.
Okay.
Do I think that's occurred?
Okay.
No.
Sorry.
But could it have? Yes.
Could have. Yeah. And if you got that much unsupported,
it's all underway
down here. And you got that much water sitting on top of it.
Yeah. But part of the goal of this is to develop, if we see this project, this is what we've agreed we're going to do, and they will implement it out there because it's going to be obvious. If that apron collapses, you're right. It may not
as
be obvious today.
Down, we'll see it. Yeah.
But
I
that
agree.
Tailwater drops.
You got a chunk of concrete sticking up. Yeah. You're going to have some interesting things come.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see something washed down too. Yeah. It's going to travel a little ways.
Yeah. So part of the goal is actually train ourselves on what we would see in the model to actually fail it in the model. So that you all recognize we're not screwing with your minds, that we will know.
Well, that'll take a bit of time to modify that model to get some panels that you can put in and out and that sort of thing, like we did for the Dow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, we get the bathymetry data in.
Yes.
Yeah. Same. Okay. We get some bathymetry data in September, then you have to take that and then be able to move it to the model level, make the modifications, and physically get down there, have them do that, and then be able to test. It's going to...
Sounds like some investigations this winter, then.
Yeah.
So...
Something I'd like to throw out there is that we do have FY10 bathymetry data. I don't know how much analysis has been done on that. But given the amount of time, I mean, given where we are right now and hearing that we're not going to get FY11 survey data until September, maybe we have to take the FY10 data and start the modeling process. I don't know.
When we scope the work, we will lay out a schedule, and that will be something we consider.
Okay.
The problem that we're going to have is that we've got such high flows.
Yeah.
If it had been a normal year, I would definitely fly with the FY10.
Okay, so you're thinking that maybe the FY11 flows are going to change.
They are changing.
Okay.
It's just, are they changing it in a bad way?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. It's just filling it all whole.
Everything else
it's full, all right. Full of water.
And that project is very different today than it was.
Shaking sturgeon.
All right, so I'm going to continue to raise the flag and say bad things are going to happen. Lori and other folks are going to work to do the modeling and contingency plan.
Okay. Well, we've been expecting this.
Okay.
And this is not a new thing. It's been
talked about, but it's new for me.
The other shoe to drop here for a few years now, so this is kind of it's dropping, it sounds like.
Any questions, final questions or concerns?
It's not really relevant, just curiosity. Yeah. I am not familiar with this corporate board.
Oh, that's a Portland District Corps of Engineers leadership team.
That's like the colonel, all the section chiefs, head of,
branch chiefs.
Branch chiefs.
I just wasn't familiar with that.
Yeah.
Strange name.
Our bosses.
I was thinking this isn't a corporation.
Yeah.
and F-Pump Brief, I'm actually going to be gone next Thursday. Dennis, would you or maybe Lori or somebody be willing to present this or your version of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They need to know about it, what we're doing, or plan forward.
Okay. And you have an electronic version of this this morning. You can modify it or whatever.
I'll probably change it. Yeah.
That's great. Perfect. Any final questions?
A few of us here.
Will this be included in the minutes that you send out, Brad?
Yes.
Electronically?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I said you have too, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
And if you have money, just let me know. I'll spend
it. He'd pass the hat.
It is.
Exactly. Kind of threat. Yeah.
Do you want a 5mm pencil?
No.
0.5mm?
Give him money.
Anybody want a 0.5mm pencil?
I'll take it.
Thanks, boss.
Good.
See you.
All right.
It's
free. I might like it. It's not bad. Always looking for good pencil. Okay, let's move on. Next is avian predation actions that are ongoing. Sandra Ruckwart, did I say that right?
Yeah.
All right. Is the PM on that? On this? And Paul Schmidt, who I think some of you know, or maybe most know, is the character on this. So Sandra is going to update us on island construction and estuary monitoring stuff. So, Sandra?
So, currently, the two islands, we need two more acres to accomplish our acreage goals. So, we are looking at Malheur as well as Hayward and San Francisco Bay. So, Malheur, schedule-wise, will most likely go first, but we have been running into problems with
flooding.
Last week, it was at 254% of normal snowpack.
Yeah, the Donner and Blitzen is just roaring.
Yeah, and it's probably more this week because it still hasn't.
I was over there, but maybe 3 weeks ago, and I've been going there 20 years annually.
Since the mountains were created.
Just about, yeah. Steam's, I watched them lift.
So, normally there's a drought. I've successfully inherited a project now that's now flooding.
Yeah, so that's going to be a while. And the other thing, too, is that when that floods like that, it stays for a while. It's a basin. It's not going anywhere. It's
we are not anticipating that it will hit the height of the water until midnight. Normally it's midnight.
Yeah.
So,
Steam just don't like
Yes. We have decided to try to go with plan, I think we're on plan F. I'm not really sure. I've stopped counting.
That's good.
Yeah. So we are not going to build a road because the plan was to build a road out into the lake to build the island. We're going to barge it.
Oh.
And the barging cost has gone down substantially by not building the road. So it may actually work out better for us.
Okay. So you're going to try to, you're going to barge material out to create the island,
yep.
But you have to wait till the flows go down? I mean, the
we're
elevation
not waiting,
go down?
No.
So you're going to give up on San Juan Island then? And
we are not necessarily giving up on San Juan Island. We're going to continue looking in case Hayward doesn't come through.
Right, it's still negotiation.
We're still in negotiations. San Francisco
has the county been talking to you guys, or is it still?
San Francisco District is working that angle.
They are. Okay.
Re-engaging with the East Bay Regional Parks. We've got a long road to go.
They still want money.
A lot of money.
They don't want no birds.
No, that's not the issue. They just want lots of money to maintain the birds.
They want soil control. They want vegetation control. They want a lot of money. Talking about how we're going to get them the money. Well, and go through the state of California. Their budget's
been
decimated.
Yeah,
so
I was just there this weekend.
I mean,
is there anywhere you haven't been, Gary?
Actually, I was in Mississippi last week. I was in Oklahoma last week. I was in Texas. Is
Joplin
last week.
Too? Or
I was
what?
In California last week, or even Washington.
One a day?
Actually, two days.
Nice.
Trevor was on.
Trevor was there too.
I was just in Mississippi though. They came back to Vancouver.
So sorry.
So Mountaineer actually looks like we're trying to award the contract by the end of this fiscal year, and then we are going to build hopefully the winter time. So we will be available for FY12.
That's good because you know what's going on down there right now. We've got birds.
The eagles.
Eagles and gulls.
Yep.
And no turns.
No turns.
But drops to what, 500 pairs, I think?
And yeah, the number I saw was 300.
300.
So.
No turns in the estuary?
They have been decimated by eagles this year. Basically pushed off of East
so
Sand
sad.
Island. They're being disturbed nightly by eagles at dusk hours and then barren owls. And so
total
change.
Wow.
What's happened over all these years is just the bird, the eagles responded and said, hey,
wow. And they woke up. Freaking snack bar.
Yeah.
Right here.
And strafing.
Awesome. I love eagles.
Totally
new thing
going.
Love Eagles. Go Eagles.
You've already predetermined what the elevation of the island has to be.
I get past.
And then there's the water level goes down.
It'll be sitting higher.
That much. It might be sitting a little bit higher, but we're trying to figure out how much. Because we're talking about
perennially wet areas. So
yeah.
You shouldn't have connectivity to the land. Is that what you're worried about?
I was thinking about that, but I was also wondering if, I don't know how much higher the lake is going to be. But if the level drops a couple of feet, maybe. What's going to happen to this? Is this island going to erode?
The lake itself has spread out a lot. It's not necessarily
getting
all that much.
It's just higher.
It's just
Great Salt Lake.
Okay.
I mean, it's becoming the acreage
it's a lock.
Of the lake.
It's just
so
a
it's
lock.
Actually we're only talking about probably, from what I've seen, you know, probably about 3 to 4 feet. But the acreage is just...
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's a big flat basin, so as it comes up, it just spreads out.
Yeah, I just think
about
how much...
It is
going to get slightly... It's going to get deeper, and also when we have the high water hit in July, we're going to get a lot less evaporation.
Yeah,
it'll stay for a while.
It'll
eventually drop unless we have climate change.
Major flooding.
We're also going to combine, we were talking about doing the geotech contract before, we're going to combine that with the construction contract. We're doing geotech work, not for necessarily, because we've done sounding, so there is a bottom.
There is a bottom, okay, so we know there's a bottom. This thing is going to sink on site all of a sudden.
Yes, there is a bottom.
Well, that's, you know, you're into the caldera out there, you know, it's just a big caldera, and then you what's in the sites.
So we're doing the soundings to see what we're building on, trying to come up with how much sediment we're going to get to build the island.
So some sort of bedrock or something down there?
That's what we believe. We'll find out. 25 feet.
Yeah.
That'd be a problem.
Somewhere down there, porous basalt.
So that's where we're at with math here. And it looks like we'll still be able to award this FY. So, and then Hayward, we're working on, as Gary pointed out, a lot of administrative issues, trying to get
just initial or something.
Agreements and everything.
How about just a big floating dock that's on piers?
Just moving around.
Consider a floating island.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
floating
not
islands.
Big floating island.
Palm trees in the middle of 100 feet.
That's a nice, like, palm trees.
Palm trees. I didn't think they'd like vegetation. I don't know. I'd go with the wet
farm. The palm trees are for owls.
Okay, so next.
So do we want to talk about the estuary monitoring? As Gary mentioned, we're having problems with eagle predation. I guess the eagles come in, eat the terns in the evening.
Yeah, the evenings have been coming through. And
the terns leave, the gulls come through
the
and
gulls are, it's amazing. Yeah. So. The gulls are like watching the eagle and then grabbing.
Couldn't be a better plan.
Chicks. It's a 1-2 punch.
It's awesome. Amazing if you don't see it at other places. There's, I think it's like specific eagles learn that behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of places where eagles fly right by.
These guys, I mean, they've been on the east end of the island for a long time, or west end of the island, and they've been pushing the cormorant colony a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. You know, but this is like an annual thing. The cormorants move 100 yards, eagles move a little bit. Uh-huh. You know, this island's not that big. When all of a sudden, the eagles went, oh, I can go all the way across this thing.
Yeah.
And they're screwed all the way.
Have you seen the video of them?
Yeah, I have. It's pretty cool to watch.
Your video?
There's a video.
If you get on Bird Research Northwest and look at the weekly reports,
there's
on YouTube.
One on YouTube.
Yeah, there's two on YouTube, actually. Two of them.
Eagle straight.
One shows an eagle coming in and nailing a tern as he rips across the island and flies off.
We can add those to the meeting minutes.
And all the terns are going, they're going up in the air, and then these gulls are like, whoa, cool, this is great. You know, the buffet's open. Down they go.
The eagles are attacking the terns, and the gulls are getting the eggs. And
well, I hope the Fish and Wildlife Service doesn't hear about that.
Yeah,
oh, that's nature. That's okay.
Oh, well, I'm trying to figure out how the
we haven't trained the eagles to do anything, we swear.
We're going to see that.
Fly in now.
We convinced all these birds, you know, and now we're making like easy pickings for the eagles. But the idea was to get the birds to move somewhere else to get more sparse populations.
We're having trained in all the off-season.
Oh, is that what's going on?
He's not done anything.
Saunders up there in big leather gloves.
Yeah. Go, go.
So you do it.
So that's it.
So yeah, that's
it. Okie doke.
So that's where we're at with the EA.
Well, I think Paul's up to something, because I met his wife yesterday, and she's a Fish and Wildlife Service, and she's an eagle biologist, and I'm thinking,
Yeah, Paul was telling me something about that, you know, we could do something, I mean, we're allowed to take some of the eagles. I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. And he's like,
take.
You could get permitting to.
You could.
Good luck with that.
But, you know,
yes.
They're not listed.
Shooting eagles to protect cormorants.
We
would have fishermen shooting us.
That's what I figured. I'm like, I don't know that much about birds, but I think
it's a national
symbol versus cormorant.
Is that an eagle?
Oh, cormorant's cool, but.
Yeah.
Not that.
It's an eagle.
There's a charisma issue here.
Correct.
Yeah.
Canfish.
Anyway, interesting things going on. Yeah, great. Definitely a change after. After 20 years of watching this colony build, and all of a sudden,
grabs a fish from a bear, gives him a five, kicks a bear into that.
See where they turn up next year.
Yeah,
that's
the key.
Oh, turn up.
What's going to happen?
Been around for years.
And so, have they dispersed out of the estuary? Have they been nested anywhere? Have they gone inland?
We have noticed them on a few other islands.
Yeah, they had a little satellite colony built up on East Sand. It's, you know, nearby. And they've been trying to get on rice, but you guys have been doing a good job of keeping them off the island, not harassing them. So he'll probably end up all over the place.
Battery Russell.
I'm hoping some of the other islands we built.
Eagles are coming.
I'm hoping some of the other islands we built.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping too.
Is there going to be like any arm waving if they don't show up on those islands? Like, yeah, supposedly.
I'm going to give them a map. Actually, here's the map. This is where we'd like you to go.
Your new bomb shelter is.
But I mean, is that a concern? I mean, the
that people, somebody might get sued or something because you took habitat away and rebuilt it and replaced it, the birds don't want to use.
That process is actually a result of a lawsuit.
Yes. Yeah.
So
That's a resolved settlement.
Mm-hmm. That was a settlement to do exactly what we're doing.
And we're building in, most of the items we've built have been in areas that were in the settlement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They agreed upon as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you build it, they will come.
That's been the idea. And they have. They've been moving, but not the numbers. You know, a few hundred. I mean, this year, maybe. Yeah. Or they'll all have to for crescents and potholes. And
that's what I'm afraid of.
We'll have going from 40% consumption rates to 100%.
Yeah. Chasing the halls.
With my luck, it's going to be. That's why we're getting them out.
Please.
Please, go
there.
Summerlin.
GPS. Thank you. That's
all right.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Dennis.
Avian wire array, just wanted to get an update, and that's why I asked Nathan to come in, chat a little bit about, most of you are aware, we did a new, more updated avian wire array at the Dalles, and kind of wanted to have Nathan come in, and since they're out at the Dalles, John Day and Bonneville, looking at bird surveys and things like that, kind of want to give an update on what we're seeing out there.
Sure. So I just quickly printed these out this morning. The top portion is a heat map of where we're seeing attacks taking place, and then the next piece is a graph of numbers of birds over time at John Day and the Dalles, and then also a number of attacks, kind of typical attacks for any given day. In general, the arrays are working pretty well. I think it's important that we remember that they're coupled with hazing, right? So we have hazing boats working at both projects, two shifts, AM, PM, and we have probably the most full arrays we've had ever. We still see some birds working upstream of the bridge at the Dalles, and that's kind of an artifact of that fan shape of the array. It doesn't parallel the bridge directly, so there's a gap in there that they've exploited. And they occasionally do penetrate, especially the newer, most downstream portion of that array. The terminus points are about 50 feet apart, and that seems to be a little bit too broad. So we're seeing some penetration of that. It's also a good spot. Last year when that array wasn't there, they worked that area a lot more heavily. So I think we shifted them downstream of the bridge. Have we increased smolt survival? I think that remains to be seen. In general, we're seeing fewer birds, fewer attacks than last year.
What I'm wondering about, I mean, I'd like to claim success, but I'm a little worried.
I'm not claiming success. I'm just telling what we're seeing.
No, I'm not saying you're not, but I'd like to claim it. But I'm looking at the flows and thinking maybe pushing that zone where, I mean, the island, the peninsula is basically under water right now. So that upwell that we used to see there, we don't see much of.
Well, what's interesting is this is from last week. And we're still hitting the same spot.
There's still a few spread out a little bit there. It's going to be there, but it isn't as pronounced as it is normally. And they're downstream below the bridge, which is probably about where the spill flow starts to slow down and some of those fish that are injured come up to the surface.
This is similar to what we saw last year, regardless of the massive amount of spill and flow this year.
Well,
they're spread a little more.
We didn't see this downstream as much.
Not last year, we had more predation downstream than upstream, more attacks.
Last year, we did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bird numbers... comparable to last year?
Lower.
I didn't see it.
I'm just wondering, are you seeing, have we seen any shift of bird numbers from the Dalles to John Day or John Day down to the Dalles? Are you seeing any birds migrating from projects or?
You know, the way we're set up, you can't directly, you know, really make
that connection. You're not seeing any bird increase.
Less at John Day than at the Dalles. The Dalles had birds earlier and has consistently had more birds.
Right. But you had, I mean, some of the peaks that you see at the Dalles are the same as you see at John Day.
Yeah, there's a peak. We think that typically we see our highest bird counts during the juvenile lamprey out-migration, and I think that's already happened to a degree, basically last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that's reflected in our bird numbers at both dams.
You think this thing that you see here is a hatchery or something?
No, I think that's juvenile lamprey.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's, we don't see them respond so much to fish numbers, you know, the correlation between like the smolt index, for example, and the bird counts.
Right.
Not so really. It's more of a timing issue.
I think something else caused that, because that is an odd one where it jumped.
Are you seeing it in their bill load? Are you guys doing bill load? Or
you know, we can observe, especially when they are feeding on lamprey. And the other part of the story is they'll shift their behavior. So on the Dalles heat map, there's basically three spots, the spot in the upper right, below the sluice and powerhouse outflow. This is typically where we'll see them predate lamprey. And this year they've been around that area all year, so it's you know, it's a different year. I think that the lamprey out migration is probably going to be more flat and not quite as peak.
The other thing you're seeing with the sluice clay is that under most years that tends to plunge. So you have an upwell that's towards the middle of the river.
Right.
Now it's going all the way across the river and impacting the other side. So you've got an upwell near the right where your heat spot is. If you go out there and look at it, you'll see that sluice way. It carries all the way across the river because of the tailwaters.
Sure.
It's supported now. Yeah. So, being plunged. Mm-hmm. So that's going to show a different availability point for the fish.
And, you know, luckily, the project biologist, Cordy, had enough foresight to really push to have that area wired also to protect lamprey, and it's doing a good job. They're
good.
Definitely below those wires. So I think that's probably it's one of those things that, you know, we don't really have a true experiment set up, right? We do treatments, and we hope that we are getting the desired effect. But
at least you're watching, you're seeing where they are defeating wires, and you've got the recommendation to narrow them up a bit. So, you know, that's something that we need to carry forward for.
Yeah, that's an easy carry forward to try to put in more lines. And you know, we've got the post there, it can support more lines.
The gap is kind of in the wrong spot, so we've gapped over the spillway itself.
Which, right.
You know, if we can fill that a little bit, that would be
good. You send that document to Danny, so she can put it in the notes.
I'm just curious, Nathan, I like the graphs and everything, but you were just talking about fewer birds this year than last year. Is it possible on those graphs the next time you do an update to put some sort of historical background line just so we can kind of get an idea?
You know, and it's one of those things I've been trying to get to that. It's an objective that I haven't got to. They're also, you'll notice that the current avian line arrays are not actually on these pictures either, and we had them, and they're different. That, like, kind of they end up in a different spot.
Have we noticed any, early, but I wonder if the Miller Rocks colony is different this year than it has been.
If anything, they might have a little less space to nest because some of the lower lying areas are definitely underwater.
Do they have colonies affected by that? Besides the colony, do you think they're dispersed more?
Did you take some cats out there this year?
Yeah, I'd like to. I got plenty.
Yeah, I don't.
Airdrop,
possum.
I don't see. You know, just driving by, looking at from the interstate, is what I've been doing.
Yeah.
We did take a peek on it earlier on in the year from the Maryhill line, which got a good view of it. Mm-hmm. But that was before water was up, and it looked pretty normal then.
Pretty normal. That's what I thought when I went by it, too.
We could ask real-time research. I know they've done overflights recently.
Well, they'll be doing it. They'll have the data, but it's out.
Raccoons have been
I got lots of cats.
Yeah,
I can do that really.
It's like an airdrop from about 10, 20.
He wants indigenous cats only. I mean, indigenous cats.
Bobcats.
Because we're spilling further.
Just cut the tail off.
Spilling south of the wall, are we getting predation on the spillway since it's not protected by avian lays?
You know, parts of it. We get attacks just in general. Really anywhere.
Well, the
but
crows,
especially since the
crows eating fish on top of the wall.
That wall is plenty protected right now.
Not now, but it was earlier in the season.
I actually meant, since we're spilling all the way over to 20, are we seeing something occurring south of the wall?
And to a degree, I'd say yes. We're seeing birds. I mean, it's hard to separate that from when the lamprey come through, we'll see birds in that same area too, even though there's no spill at all. So disentangling those two is not going to be totally possible, but you know, we can look at timing the best we can.
Looking at it a couple of weeks ago, I didn't see any birds up in any gulls up in that area at all. I mean, they're all down below the bridge.
There were some yesterday for sure.
Was there up above there?
And I don't think it's severe. And what the heat map does is it takes all these individual points and really kind of says, all right, well, here's where you have the most intense areas. And so we're not seeing a spot show up there, for example.
Cool. Is hazing working?
Yes.
I mean, they feel like hazing is continuing to work this year.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, I think the boat hazing is probably, to my surprise, it's worked far better than like the shore-based hazing, even though it's not that different. Even in places where they could still kind of reach the birds with the pyro from the shore, mm-hmm. the boat hazing just has a much better effect. Yeah. And we saw this when we ran some real quick and dirty trials in like 2009 at John Day, where we tried a handful of different things. And when we got a boat out there, I mean, it cleared all birds.
They could yeah. see that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
bad. Exactly. I don't want to be around that thing.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it seems to have just the impact of boat hazing is it's really been fairly successful. And you know, we see it in the sense that we get there at 5 in the morning, the hazers show up about 7, and before that time, the bird numbers are increasing. And the hazers show up, and the bird numbers decrease.
Did you see Paul Schmidt sent out a, what did he send?
Oh, from APHIS?
Yes, he sent, APHIS is putting together a, what is it? Is there an annual document or a,
No. So they're applying like for
illegal
statewide. It's a statewide NEPA document, I believe.
Right. And the Corps, he wanted comments from the Corps about what it does. It allows us to have lethal take in our projects.
Potentially, it's one avenue to do that. So instead right. of the Corps going through the entire NEPA process, we could probably dovetail with their process right. since they would be doing the take for us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that would, we could include a finding of no significant impact with that document potentially. This is something he's been trying to kind of coordinate this for a while.
Yeah.
Can we have a discussion of that at EPPA? Because I heard about this too, and people want to know if I want to review it, and I'll look at it, but I don't have more.
Do you have a copy of it?
I do not.
Okay. I'd like to know more about
it. If I do the contract, I'd like
right.
to have a copy.
Well, I was going
to
bring
something you're talking about at the Bolton.
No, this would be this is at the project level maintenance issues. This mm-hmm. is. Maybe under the avian.
Coming up later. Yeah. Dennis can probably handle it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I yeah. have a lot to share. Yeah.
If you guys need me, you know where I'm
at. I think, yeah, I've got that document I can send you. I thought it was interesting because it specifically deals with project. Individually,
it's different. This is something new. I mean, we used to do that, and then yeah. we didn't. Now maybe there's potential to actually get.
Well, it opens up an avenue right, where yeah. the Corps can investigate.
Instead of piggybacking on APHIS,
yeah,
you can have your own. I don't know.
I think this is still very much coordinated with you. And Fish and Wildlife Service has been around, involved in some of the meetings, at least some of the early on meetings where they last year where they tried to get this to go through and it didn't go. That's yeah. you know, at all.
So. They wanted comments by the end of the month, not May, thank goodness, but I think June. But I think we should at least, we can look.
Yeah, if you send that to me, I'll send it out to
FCOM. I just barely just scanned through it yesterday, trying to understand it looks very relevant to what we want to do.
Right.
It may help us move us towards being able to take birds at our projects and have an avenue to do that.
He's on his way. He's lost.
Again.
Okay.
But Paul Schmidt would be, of course, the person to really
yeah.
talk about, you know, his thought and his vision for this thing.
Tammy, can you send Paul an email and tell him, ask him if he can come over to FPOM? Just to put him on the agenda. I don't feel comfortable bringing it up. I don't think Nathan does either. I mean, he's responsible for sharing it with the region. Yeah. Okay. So I think FPOM would be a good place because it's a management action.
It is, and it's a project operation.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Dennis, anything else?
Nope. Thank you very much. I think we will, at the end of this year, have a recommendation back to the group on, from what we see, we want to have something in place where we can add lines. And then at some point, I think there was an investigation, okay, this is what our plan was for implementing in FY11, and then we would look to see if we need to investigate anything below the bridge.
Right.
Below the bridge becomes problematic because it's not a property. So, but we wanted to say...
We do have property below the bridge. A Navlock pencil extends below the bridge.
Well, we can have a discussion about yeah. that. I want to make sure that what we have above the bridge is good.
Right, and then whether or not what we're seeing this year is a byproduct of higher spill flows, and it's not characteristic of maybe what a normal year would be. So, okay.
I'll forward you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You look at the John Doe scenario. It's, we have probably the entire BRZ is essentially covered with avian lines, and so the birds now sit at the end of the avian lines.
Right. They may not
from this whole theory of let us try to protect these fish until they can get reoriented and swimming properly and sound down deeper to get out of the predation zone. I think we've kind of taken that as far as we can.
I agree.
I don't know.
The birds, there's always going to be dead fish coming through there, so they're going to pick those up, and they'll always be, you're going to kill a few. So, unfortunately.
5% of, 100 million? What do you want? That's something.
That's a lot of fish.
That's my new ringer. When Gary calls,
and I will kill a few.
You're right.
That's okay.
But, having said that, that hot spot below the bridge is pretty traditional spot. Even before these studies were going on, if you just think about driving across the bridge, you probably saw birds on both sides, and it has a lot to do with the bathymetry there. Mm-hmm. It might be from a real broader protecting salmon trying to get these fish downriver. It might be a spot that's worth trying to put lines over.
Unless those fish are already more abundant.
Yeah,
contributing to the population anyway, so we need to think about that.
Fish gotta swim, birds gotta eat.
And you can't string wire over everything.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
We can skip number 4.
Yeah, Mike's not here to brief on number 4, so we'll go ahead and skip those. Yesterday, we had a quick SRWG call based on flows. If anybody wants to see them, I went ahead. We got the STP forecast for the most recent one. We got it yesterday afternoon, and so I graphed it up this morning. And if folks want to see it, it's right there.
This is the new one.
This is a new one.
Yeah, well, it's flatter. It's peakier.
Peakier, yeah.
It's reflecting the weather.
554, something like that.
Cool. It'll be out there on the 8th.
And for the spill, I looked at the last, since we got up to about 420 or so, I took what was the basically powerhouse flow. By calculating, taking the total river, what the forecasted river flow was, subtracting it from about 250, which seems to be about what's been going through the powerhouse, and just kind of, estimated what the spill percent would be.
So you did that?
That time. Yeah, I did that. The forecast spill thing is mine, except for the actual, that is actual. So.
So anyway, we can note that what's happening too is as tailwater goes up, we get less efficient in the powerhouse. So you're going to see...
That's right. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. It's really we're not putting as much through this book.
Sure. And I based it on the last... It was averaged about 253.
Through the powerhouse?
Through the powerhouse.
I thought it was closer to 200.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was about 215. Yeah, 210.
That's, okay. That's
minus. Okay. Yeah.
That's with miscellaneous.
Average
spill
was about 253.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there is a McNary COP meeting out. Anybody who's headed for that should have a bird's eye view of what's going on at Dalles.
Take a camera.
Take a camera, because that's the 8th, I think, so it's going to be right on top of it.
So based on that and a number of other issues, we've canceled the summer part of the study for all three projects. We can't meet our targets. We may be close to exceeding the...
I have a new request. Something I didn't throw out yesterday, but popped in my head.
Okay.
If we're not doing... Gene, you'll love this one. If we're not doing this test in the summer, I'd like to see the results of these the spring study 3 months sooner.
3 months from when?
Now.
When would you like to see them?
Well, we normally see them in, November before we finally get a good look at them.
I think, Gene?
Sooner than the last time we saw him.
Gene, are you still on the phone? Gene Plosky?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Did you hear what I said?
We had a question from Gary.
How soon do you think we can see the spring results?
Since you guys are going to be twiddling your thumbs for the next couple of months, I'd like to see the results of that spring study sooner.
Yeah, well, if it requires, we can give you results for the autonomous nodes.
Okay.
Pretty quick, but what we can't do is there's still a lot of processing has to be done on the cabled arrays at the dam.
I understand. I'm just thinking that you guys could have more time now to do this if we can get the results sooner than we've got them in the past years.
Gene, do you recall when the all the cabled receiver data was going to go to John for the spring? Was that in the July time frame? Is that the?
Yeah, I think it is July or August time frame.
And when we had spring results. Late August, early September, I think last year, at least the early ones.
That was really preliminary.
Yeah.
It just seems that with more time and not a summer study to do that we can get those data. We, you know, our discussions really didn't get going until last winter over what to do next year. If we have these data in hand earlier, it just gives us more time to have discussions about.
And I think spring data we can have.
Yeah.
I would, Gene, and correct me if I'm wrong, Gene, but probably. I would say early September.
John is going to be important, so if we get that.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt it'll be done by then.
Okay.
Because I have to look back at our schedule, deliverable schedule, but I think that's within the time frame that we had planned to have the data processed.
Okay.
All I'm saying is it looks like, you know, since the summer study doesn't go, there's time, people should have time to actually work on this a little harder.
Okay.
Yeah,
the only
thing is that we have 24 machines that are post-processing, decoding the data comes from the cabled arrays, and that just takes the time that it takes.
Okay.
It's not a matter of manpower or anything like that.
Well, I always see Mark looks like he's about ready to die by the time he gets those data to us. It's like he's on his last gasp because
that's true.
Working so hard. And it seems to me that shouldn't have to be the case this year.
Mark always looks like that.
Oh, that's it. You know he does? I just thought it was because we were always pushing him. But
that's just normal.
That's just normal, okay.
He always looks pathetic.
He's not on the phone to defend himself.
Okay. No, that's all right. He knows.
I tell him that all the time.
Okay, I just... Sooner we have that information, the better quicker we can make decisions for next year and not have to have these last-minute drills.
Yeah, well...
They may not be driven by your data. They may be driven by other issues like, other judges and things like that, but we have no control over it.
Yeah, I think it's very reasonable to have the preliminary results by September.
Okay, that's cool. That'd be good. That'd be great.
Okay, so I think that's any questions about the survival study itself. Jump down to the transmitter downsize. I've got another update to send out, and I'll try to get that out later this afternoon. Thought that I think our next fitter wig is scheduled for August 4th, and I suggested to Daniel. Ding, he's the lead on that, is to come in and give us a wow.
Oh, must be the wrong person.
Yeah. To come in and give a kind of a briefing on where we're at that time on stuff.
Document it.
Yeah, take a picture of this.
Burn already has. Burn already got.
I got to get one too.
Can you look over here, please, Tom?
Jesus. Cool dive. Presentation. On what? Why the Corps is failing to meet their requirements.
Got it.
It's Mr. Lawrence today.
Should we salute?
Wow.
It's Mr. Lawrence.
When the executive director tells you you're doing a presentation in front of 200 people, yes, sir, and I will look tomorrow.
Mr. Lawrence.
That would be included.
Yeah. Just today.
His wife dressed him.
I've got a pocket knife. Did you want to cut the legs off those pants?
I was going to. They took them downstairs.
Cut the tags off.
Do we have tassels?
Are you wearing tassels? I'm not tassels yet.
Okay.
It's like Biggest Loser, marathon.
shot.
I know. Carrying
the sign, the end of Earth is near. Oh my God!
I saw
you getting a picture, Gary. Did you get a picture?
And we got one that's going to be in the notes.
She's the master plan, though. See, that way it looks different this way, so when they can see the presentation, they won't recognize his face. Like, that's not more sweet. I succeeded.
So I've talked to Daniel about coming to the next Fitter Week, doing a kind of a presentation, you know, 10-15 minutes, update in person where we're at. He suggested, or he offered, if folks want to set up something, folks come to Richland and actually see the stuff, you know, what they're doing, where they're doing it, and things like that. If folks are interested, I thought. Mm-hmm. If you know, not to necessarily make a special trip to Richland, but maybe couple it with a Walla Walla Fitter Week at the same time, something like that. So an afternoon it's over, come over to Richland and do a 2-3 hour tour of the facility if folks are interested.
Walla Walla Fitter Week is the first week of.
I looked at the calendar and it looks like it overlaps our.
It does. Come think of it's third and fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
cool.
I don't know if that was real or
it is real.
Item six, right?
Yeah.
To the JSETS transmitter stuff.
Yeah.
So you would go back over to Richland and go to the lab. Is that what you're proposing?
That's what was offered if folks are interested.
On the 10th, I think there is a Tom 10th Blomo lab. Pop.
I think that's what
that's so it's in Walla Walla.
I know.
It's a Lomo Cop meeting. Yeah. Do you remember the 10th, I think? Yeah. I was going to try to get them moving to the week.
Of August?
It's that next week.
Yeah.
And I was going to try to get them to move that into the same week as the Fitter Week, but maybe not. There's two chances. There's a Lomo Cop, Transportation Cop meeting in Walla Walla sometime the second week, and the first week is
I was thinking of the one next week, but no,
that's McNary.
That's McNary. Okay.
Yeah, there's a Lomo Transport Cop. I think that's August 10 or 9 or something. I know that I don't want to drive to Walla Walla 2 weeks on the road.
Okay.
But maybe we could combine a whole week's worth of activities.
Okay. So I'll look at setting up for that week. Yeah, I will. But so folks would be interested in doing that, coming to Richland and kind of a dog and pony, see their facilities and where they're doing the work.
Stuff we work on that we don't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
pretty interesting and impressive. So
we get our own dummy tag at home.
The research being planned for you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Look away for a second.
Every time you walk by a damn beep, 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 beep.
Have you seen the Men in Black thing? They have that lighted pin when you leave there in the black, so you don't remember anything.
How was Richland?
Richland. Okay, so we'll. I'll set something up for that.
Brett?
Yes?
I apologize for being gone, but what's the quick and dirty on item 5? What was the punchline?
I skipped that. There isn't really much of an update.
Okay.
And they're finishing up. They're doing research.
What was the last day of releases for the spring?
It was, I believe, the 29th or 30th below Bonneville. Gene, when was the last release below Bonneville?
I think it might have been the 31st or the 30th, I remember.
And it was last release above John Day.
27.
2 or 3 days before that. I'm guessing with travel times being the way they are right now.
Yeah, half hour.
Yeah.
20.
They beat the cars.
Yeah, I think the 27th. Is that right, Gene? 27th, 28th?
Now, hold on a
second. I'll get back to you. I'll look it up. Okay. So, John Day, Dow's adult pit detector.
Let's see. I know that there was a meeting last week.
Actually, I'm here to fill in for Vanderbilt.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you.
I'm Pat Keller. Okay. I'm a new project manager for the Department of District.
We're
temporary.
You can say that.
Why do you still have yours on? Is my question.
Because I don't have shorts in my car, damn it.
Yes, we're just kicking off this job. We had a kickoff meeting on last Thursday. Have a site visit scheduled next week, so not a whole lot to say other than...
So you're going to be the PM on this?
Right.
Under Vanderbilt's...
Right.
Going away and yep. New guy. Okay.
So are you guys looking at something similar? Are you guys going to reopen this all the way up, look at a whole wide range of alternatives? Are you guys going to kind of stay with what you've had previously?
No one seemed to know a whole lot about what was previously done, so that was kind of the task one was to talk to all these people who were involved before.
Scott Benton's the guy to talk to.
Yeah, that name was brought up.
Yeah, definitely from EPA. He's your contact on that. He's out
because we did looking at it. And Natalie, didn't you identify some locations in the Dalles? And I vaguely remember some in the John Day as well.
Yeah. So Dalles specifically.
And there was a lot of questions about the previous work that Natalie, you were involved with, so
I wasn't super involved in it because it was pretty much, as I recall, we discussed it, and then we decided that wasn't going to work right now. We didn't need it right now. We had enough at the two other dams or something like that. That's my vague recollection, like 3 years ago.
Down that issue
and then so we proceeded on the fish exodus to go without it. And so there was very little done on my part. I was the project manager.
So our scope is to look at both ladders at both dams and evaluate what the alternatives are, trying to figure out the best one, and come up with some cost estimates so that then we can present it. What's the value? Is it worth to justify?
Well, to put it on CRFM, and then we can do some ranking, and we'll see.
Yeah, you will.
Thanks.
Yeah, we want to get this going. So I talked to Richie just a couple days ago, and he's like, "Well, if you got extra money, then we'll see that get done this year." Yeah. I said, "Well, I don't know about that fast, but certainly if there's money that we can shovel into, if you got extra money this year for whatever reason, like design survival study not going forward, then let's shovel some of that into this as soon as possible, so we can get that moved ahead." But we definitely want to see those, at least the Dalles, as soon as possible. We did look at some biomarkers involved, looking at some times. Last year I was out there with them, and Scott, BPA, and we were looking at the tilting weir sections as one possibility. Or not tilting weir, sorry. Telescopic, I'm sorry.
Tilting weirs.
Some people catch that.
Very.
Yeah, the telescopic weirs, they're on the east ladder, and also the exit section. North ladder, but I'm not sure there's enough repetition there. You've got a couple of weirs you can put them on. The exit section kind of gives you one area, I think, for the north ladder, but I'm not sure it's again, repetitive enough, because we'd like to see efficiencies as high as any other system. Because we're looking for losses of fish between Bonneville and his dam. So, if you count a fish at one dam, we want to know if they make it to the next dam. We don't want kind of losses in there that aren't.
That's what I was wondering if you guys could take possibly a sub reduction, because since the North Ladder has much lower passage, would you be willing?
Well, that's possible. I just don't want any questions there that was it efficiency or was it truly loss? So I think we want these to be initially at least look at with the goal of meeting the same efficiencies that we're meeting with Bonneville or Marin Harry.
And Marie Phillips is technical lead, and she had planned to do a little a separate Fitterwig meeting just for discussing the criteria for our study, what sort of efficiencies you're looking for and things like that.
Yeah, and Sean talked to me about that this morning and wanted me to try to identify some dates that folks might be available for that.
Okay.
I think he was looking for sometime later this month. I think did Sean talk to you about that? Or was that
for Richard? I just have
Sure. And so Sean can set up a doodle poll or something. And
yeah, it won't be in June.
Okay.
I'll tell you that right now.
Did you sneak something the third week of June?
No.
So Sean's going to be involved with this?
Yes.
No. Okay, good. Because
for 2 weeks, I got a wedding to go to. I'd like to get this.
You getting married? You're all yours, Ken?
Got three nieces to get along.
The other thing, I guess there's a site visit. Next week.
Next week, Wednesday.
On Wednesday, if folks are interested, just kind of go down.
We have the Dalles. We happen to have a cop meeting next Wednesday.
The Dalles and John Day.
Both, yeah.
Well, I was going to say we're having a cop meeting at the Dalles.
No, we're going to be there.
We'll be there anyway. So
okay.
Ideal time.
What time?
It starts at 9 for some goddamn reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think we're going to be drafting a letter saying why are you doing that. So it needs to be really short for us.
I think
the Dalles cop?
No, the cop is for, it's a kickoff for the Snake River. It's a kickoff for the Snake River, and they're also going to touch upon the transportation cop. This is just more of, hey, look, this is our new cop process we're doing in the Snake River, and by the way, we also got to track out what we're doing the transport.
I'm not sure about that. I thought this was a McNary detailed discussion.
I thought the one about next Wednesday.
Ooh, we better talk to him, because I thought it was,
I'm just going to
make it. We already had the, well, you guys did.
Okay. We're not allowed
the problem is there's this federal process, and there's
know.
The... Yeah. Everybody else process.
Yeah.
But I thought it was McNary cop specifically.
I think you're right.
Well, take a look. That's what the emails are for. Yeah.
But anyway, we're
really?
Going to be there. So that's the key.
We'll be up there regardless. So.
Okay, so
it's
so there,
a
so,
thing.
Oh, okay.
So you have to work with Alex Coulter.
No, I don't.
No, I don't. You want us there.
So they're meeting.
No.
So 9 o'clock at the Dalles. Regardless,
yeah.
it's something.
I think the team's going to try to shoot for about meeting about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we're going to leave Portland around 7. Should put us, we're going to go to Dalles first. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
That actually,
let us know your itinerary.
That'd actually be at 8 o'clock, yeah.
So we figured a couple hours at the Dalles, then drive to Jean Day a couple hours there and come back to Portland. So.
Yeah, they have a schedule from, I think, 9 to 5. So like, I'm going, we don't need
that's
to
just Alex. You know, they just plop. You know, so if we're running off doing something else for a while,
yeah, we could just say that's maybe what we do is call off, say push the company back, start say at 10:30, and we get there at 9 and do the tour and let these guys know.
Yeah.
That way the wall guys don't have to come and think, we're nice, we're letting you go ahead later. We're here to help.
You send that email.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you know where you're going to be, if you're going to be in East Ladder, North Ladder first, we could.
I don't know.
Send us an email. Maybe if you know.
And I'll have Sean. I'll have Sean do that.
Good,
okay, have Sean do that. Have Sean say
you're welcome.
yeah, so that we know where they're going to be and then we can try it.
Okay.
Well, we're gonna have them.
And the third question, I'll bring it up. Are these going to be involved in the plans for this, or are we going to be not even thinking about Lampert and Dallas?
We
don't have tag tickers.
We want to make sure they don't get stuck on the tag or cancel all of our tags.
Just one, okay.
You want, what are you thinking?
You want to sell a half duplex?
I mean, including an HD?
Yeah.
Potentially.
Or a full duplex?
Yeah. A half and a full duplex.
So there's half duplexes right there right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, too, is make sure you coordinate with the Lamprey people so that you don't interfere.
That's
most we're going to bring those out.
You would, too.
You know what?
So I'm just saying, like, if you are going to move those, then we need to think about how we're going to deal with the Lamprey. I'm just saying,
that's
you're not careful, it's going to be over.
If it's happening.
Hey, you should see my presentation. You would have seen the answer. I'm not interested.
Let me see your presentation. Come on.
I got a pop, I got a thumb drive.
It's got a tie.
What don't we know? Because you're not listening to me.
You're on thin ice. He's got a tie on.
I know. What am I saying?
He's obviously more important.
If that was only true.
Okay. So, makes a nice segue. What's there anything else?
Okay, well, thanks. What's the schedule again? Where are we at? What are we...
So Sean, we'll have Sean. Sean set up a doodle poll for this special fitter wig. We'll and then also send out the itinerary for next week's site visit.
Okay. Okay, this is going to have to be in July.
And I've got that not in June. So.
If that doesn't, you know, that's okay. If we have to have it in June, then we're going to have to rearrange schedules.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that if there's opportunity to spend money this year, we jump on that. So what is we jump on?
My email just to you, Brad. Okay. Are we on 8?
Number 8.
Okay, so I'm here to talk to you about the Lamprey and Adult Studies and John Day. So if you have any questions, please just feel free to ask me. So I try to keep track of what, you know, meetings we've had, bigger picture for Lamprey. I mean, at some point, this is going to get too large, and I'm not going to do it anymore. But, you know, just so you have some sense of where we're at. We had a meeting on the 20th, and it went well. But we always feel like there's so much to cover, and we're talking as fast as we can, and we get to the end, and we haven't covered everything. So what we're doing, as you can see on the last bullet, it says the next bi-monthly meeting is going to be the 7th and the 8th of July. So we're taking 2 days now because we're driving to Walla Walla. This, you know, we usually drive to Walla Walla, have our meeting, and then drive back. I do. And sometimes I go the day before. Sometimes I do it in one day, and it's really brutal. So anyway, I just want to let you know we're planning on having two-day meetings from now on. So for Bonneville Washington Shores, we are trying to route that pipeline through all of those conduits and stuff. I mentioned that to you last time I chatted with you. Okay, so we did a ground penetrating radar to see where they are. But the problem was that we asked them to quantify the X, Y, and Z. Well, the Z, they didn't quantify the way we thought they would. So the Z is flat when actually the ground is like this. Okay, so everything, you know, so we got this plot back where all the utilities are, and it looks like we have a pipeline going like this. Well, that's because the pipe, you know, the ground is like this and the pipeline's like this. So anyway, it's a struggle right now. So we had to go back out and ground truth it, actually put in rods and find out exactly how deep things are.
Can we just dig that up?
I wish.
A few years ago?
We did.
That was all dug up.
But the as-builts, aren't, well, they're not jiving with what?
Oh, God, that was only a few years ago.
I know.
It was about 99.
I know. Yeah. So that's the struggle.
Years change.
You just thought because they were older.
It's been 30 decadal time frames now.
I know. It's just last year, I mean, 11 years ago.
Yeah. It's like last year. Fast as we're working. Anyway. So anyway, it's... We've got to quantify that, and so we're also going to try to figure out, well, we're probably going to just have to set it up on the contract such that we're going to give it our best shot, but we're going to have the contractor open it up and check it. He'll verify it, because I don't know any other way to reduce our risk, and I don't want to have a big claim on it based on what the information we have. So, you know, stay tuned. We're working on it. But so it's affecting you're getting the final alignment so you can see it. But they're working on it, and hopefully, maybe the next fit or wait, we will have it so that you can look at it.
So you're just wanting them to adjust the data that they have to a slope.
They can't.
Or are they gonna physically? Okay, so you're gonna physically go out there.
We did already. We took our survey crew out.
Okay.
So right. And I don't have the results yet. I just got in yesterday, so I haven't talked to Jerry Otto about how that came out. Okay. So we had to put them together. Basically, they're trying to do that. So that's the struggle we're having.
So there should be some surprises.
Right, and that's why I'm trying to. We're going to add a field verify to the contract as a line item they bid on. So I don't have a big monster claim. So because I don't have I don't want to have a lot of money. Because our Lamprey program's $5 million. So
yeah, we done a lot. So you're really, from our standpoint, I mean, this is just routing the AWS supply through there, so.
Right, we're trying, and Steve is trying to go as, he's trying to bring it up and bring it high, up and over it.
Over all the utilities?
That's what he's trying to do.
Is he going to get break surface in and tear the surface down?
That's what he's trying to do, and so I don't know exactly how far along he is with that. I haven't seen it. I mean, I haven't seen his
calcium. So it'll upgrade, then it'll go down to some point.
And then dive and go underneath the road and then connect to the piers and go through that abandoned room and then keep going through, bore through, and then attach to the flume. So, I hope that we will be able to provide you a picture at the next fit or wig and so you can see what we have in mind and how he's trying to bring it up.
I do have an issue. Yes, I want an issue. The concern is with the flows that we have right now, the current LPS is underwater.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a nice fish trap set up there that is really a bad situation.
Nobody wanted to believe that tailwater got above 28 feet when that thing went in.
Yeah, that is bad. Wow. I don't know if any of what you guys have developed here.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to take, we're going to actually take that out, but that doesn't help you this year.
Yeah, we just need to keep in mind, anything we put in there, we don't want to have it
technically, you can be fish tell you all that.
When it goes underwater.
This is the one outside.
Yeah, it's underwater by a foot or so. You can just see the top of it, which is, what I'm looking at is the top of the railing. And there's about 4 feet of railing.
Like a platform
under that. That's basically a fish trap.
Yeah.
Any salmon they get.
Yes, because it's open in the top. So when the water recedes.
Fish that go down in there are trapped in there.
But only dumb fish.
So there are smart fish on the Columbia. They're smart. They can just
the design on the LPS, there's nothing that's sticking out.
No, there's nothing sticking out. Luckily, yeah, right. It's all enclosed.
There's nothing sticking out in the fish ladder like that in the LPS design.
So, yeah, it's all enclosed.
That's all I was concerned about.
It has portals that you can open, but you can't. Fish can't get stuck in it.
I was going to say bull trout. Good.
Dave's already
bull trout.
That was for Dave.
Okay, as Gary knows, who else did emails from Hugo? We went down and looked at McNary, and so we, there's a lot of.
Done it, didn't
it? Yeah, 94 degree heat.
36 hours to get there.
It was ugly. Got stuck in down.
Like
Oklahoma City, Dallas, Fort Worth.
Oh, you could have driven.
8 hours in the airplane.
You could have driven down.
Yeah, but the review went well, I felt. So yeah. You guys provide a lot of good feedback, and so they're going to be working on that stuff, and as you know. So, okay. Okay, the Bonneville trash rake fix has been assigned to Captain Robert Lee. So hopefully you'll hear from him. I haven't heard anything.
Well,
I'm feeling good.
He's a general type of reason.
He's on the agenda. I just went
this
up
is
to
before
his,
you gotten up to the agenda.
Yeah. It's on the agenda. I asked him to come. I don't see him up there at his desk. And it looks
track.
Very dark.
What captain is he?
He's a captain of
an Army
Corps.
Regular.
Yeah, he was out at the resident
Army
engineering
Army.
Office.
Yep.
He was involved with the B-1 sluiceway gates and implementing that program. So he has some background. He's got background with Bonneville Project, so he's going to work well with Kevin Pelletti and folks that are...
He's most of the regular military guys must have gotten like 3 or 4
I don't know.
This guy's been here for a while.
Nishimura has been here for a couple of years.
Yeah, he's probably kind of
came out of the
standard chain of command
structure. Yeah, we're getting a new colonel this summer, and it's Colonel Eisenhower.
Eisenhower. Yeah, it is.
You're Eisenhower and Lee.
Eisenhower.
When you guys
no relation.
So is Captain Lee's no longer at Bonneville at the construction.
He's here. He's actually resides here at the 10th floor.
When you guys get new district commanders, can you send out a
email? That's a good thing to have, but it's hard to keep up.
We have a change. We have a change command. Do you want to see?
You're expected to show up.
See that?
We should have a meet and greet.
It's the 30th.
Met Miles just on the airplane on the way back from Mississippi. He was sitting right there.
Colonel Miles?
Really? So that's together on the plane.
Yeah,
thing.
I had a good discussion with him actually.
And I went on your websites for the various districts to try to find who's in charge, and it was really tough to find names.
Or you don't think that's by design?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Gigs up.
Was in charge there.
Wheels, uh-oh.
So, Tammy, is operational maintenance going to be working closely with Captain Robert Lee to...
Do you want me to give you the... Skinny. I mean, Tammy knows. I've met with him a couple times, and if you don't mind,
are you already on the agenda?
We are in the agenda as number 9, but I can quickly blaze through that. If
I don't mind. I don't care.
Okay,
whatever.
I'll take a few minutes. So Captain Lee was assigned the technical lead. I've sat down with him for about 15-20 minutes, kind of went through the historical background of the anchor that we have out there now. Okay, why we're so interested in the modifications for a current ranking system out there and why it's so important. Who needs to be on the team, the ops folks, the project support folks. He's created a budget. He's right now creating a scope of work, getting ready to, he has... some FY11 funding to start the team out and kick things off for moving something forward to plan and spec and implementation in FY12.
Does he have Morris's address for the
I told him that there was a few parties that would like to have a plaque apply to whatever we build.
Fix steel on that thing.
Just a memorial, you know, it needs a Tom Mars memorial rake.
You now have a picture of Tom.
Yeah. Exactly.
So he's aware of the interest, the many years of interest. And so anyway, so we have funding, we have a technical lead, and we're gonna be moving forward, and we'll have the right players on board.
Okay.
So the plan is to, the team will assemble this year, get up to speed, and then the plan is to have something to plan in specs, and then something in FY13, as early as FY13 to implement.
Maybe we'll actually have the SA20 board, 24 board up and running and be able to run automated fish units as well at the same time.
Yeah. Well, this will be an audit.
The whole thing will be the way it should have been back in.
The system, we have to decide on what's best for, you know, if you know, different trash racks themselves, plus a dredging action.
For just the fish units, or are you going to use this thing for...
No, it just needs... This is just fish units.
Right. Okay,
so you guys, I know, Tim, you talked in the OEM about trying to fast-track something else, so you're basically halted looking at kind of all the shell systems that are now back to design. So
well,
specifically
for
them?
No.
What the project was doing is basically looking for trash rakes first for the fish valves, but in the process of doing that, also looking for a commercial rake for the fish units. And it's very difficult to find something that will go that deep, but they're still looking at it. And there's recommendations, which when we have a meeting will be...
Yeah.
Yes. I don't believe there's been a meeting yet, or at least
we
not one that I've
meeting.
Been invited
He's,
to.
He asked me who's been participating on the team for the projects, ops, all that kind of stuff. So he has those names. He's going to be sending stuff out. So we are making progress.
Okay, pulling things together.
Yep.
Good. Cool.
All right. We'll check number 9.
Okay.
Thank you, Natalie.
Okay, sure. No problem. Okay, so back to my stuff. Adult salmon and steelhead studies. I don't know, did we ever come to any resolution about the BPA benefits for opening this stuff sluice so we can do it? We opened it for March, but we were talking about possibly doing it in December, and I don't know if anything's changed there, where we're at with that.
We're still
planning on doing December, this coming December?
Mm-hmm. We'll have the data, and the plan, I think, right now is to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, move forward. Okay.
There was an annual, it was going to be implemented annually, as far as I know.
Oh, great. I didn't know that.
And it's forward, so what was the...
It'll be the next pop, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my shirt's in the fall.
I can't remember. There's a caveat. What's the caveat?
Is BPA okay?
BPA. Jason?
Yeah.
What's the caveat on the Dallas Sluiceway?
Oh, operating it December and March.
We were going to run it, but you guys said pending something. What? That's it. 13, and then we'll check to see where we're at.
That's what
until 13.
So we've got a couple of years of operation, and then we'll check.
Then you'll check it out.
So no relation to snowballs and pounders.
Okay, good. Just check. Not yet.
This is good.
Thanks, Jason.
Okay, great, good. Okay. Dennis, I don't think you have anything more about the B1 or the B2 sluice weight stuff. I think we're done with that. Is there anything follow-up on? That's my second bullet under adult salmon.
Well, there are follow-on action items in the 2012 one-pagers.
Are there?
That address, first one is a, not a B1 item, but there is a follow-on kelp evaluation through turbines.
Oh, okay, but that's under the TSP program?
Yeah.
Okay, not under my show.
Nope.
Okay, now I'm going to take that off from now on.
But... Okay. There was a follow-on issue associated with, and this is, it's in the FPOM arena, about operations for kelp passage.
Oh, okay.
Okay, from our study, we were going to have a kelp, a Bonneville operations for the sluiceways, as well as powerhouse priorities and things like that. We were going to have that meeting a week ago Monday,
right.
And Gary was, and unfortunately, there was this, lamprey group. So I had to reschedule that. So I'm in the planning of rescheduling that ops meeting. But anyway.
Okay. That'll deal with the kelp management triggers.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions on adult salmon or lamprey before I go into John Day? Okay. So for John Day, we're going to have our BECO package hopefully out to you guys sometime June 14th-ish. Okay. And that's for construction in 12. Well, you know, FY12. So, but there's been some discussion about moving some of that work up to 11. And so Randy Chong has been chatting with me. I've been trying to work that detail. Then contacting threw me a curveball and said, we want you to do a continuing contract clause, which has to go all the way up to the Assistant Secretary of the Army. That happened while I was in Mississippi. I tried to negotiate it out. I'm still trying to negotiate it out because that takes months to get through that chain of command. So, and I feel we have a legitimate case to say that the vertical weir with the stop logs and the bollards is its own system. And if we just do that, we haven't left the project any worse, and that's the case I have to make. So I'm hoping I can make that case, because if Randy says, yes, you have money, that will help to get this going sooner. So that's what I'm working on. If I can get, I'm going to go ahead and submit the continuing contract clause to Kevin Bryce, so that I don't, if they say no way in hell, then it'll already be going. So that's the update on the entrance work. Any questions on the entrance, the plan and specs? Okay. So the tap, they're still working on the completion of that. That's just the power supply to the pumps, and I don't anticipate any glitches there. It's like in the operation and maintenance manuals arena. And then the pumps itself, so we approved 5 and 6. So now all 6 pumps have been funded, which is great. Yay. And we did, as you already know, we did our pump model visit. The only thing we saw was a little bit of vortex, but we don't think that's going to be an issue. We started the excavation for the electrical building, and they're also doing the coring to get from the electrical building down into the pump discharge chamber. So it's pretty crazy out there right now. They're also trying to locate a crane down there and everything else. So if you go out, just make sure you got all your safety gear on and let them know you're around there, because it's going to be crazy down there. So they're trying to go into pump 4. Pump 4 is already out of service. They're trying to go in and look at that and try to do some work outside the in-water work period, since it's already down. They don't use it. And so that, we anticipate them looking at that in July. And then that could help us when they start doing all the pumps at once. And Tammy just sent out an FPOM request for the in-water work period for November 5th through March 29th of 2012 through 2013. So she's requesting comments. I don't remember the date, but I just... By FPOM, okay. So that's all I have on John Day, unless there are questions for me. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Anna.
Yep.
Thank you.
Never mind, I'll call him.
You'll call him? Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Mr. Schwartz?
Okay.
Do you want turbine ops?
Yeah, we can. I just asked to put it back on the list because I know there was some additional dialogue, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit more at FBOM. But we had a meeting a little over a week ago talking about the white paper for Bonneville turbine ops through the TSP program. Had a significant amount of participants on the phone, minus Gary. Kind of wanted to just quickly summarize comments. There was some general comments on the report from Dave, and we're handling those by updating the white paper with a little bit better explanation about best geometry, a little bit of explanation about the 1% background. Also, as Gary suggested, we'll probably attach his trip report as an addendum. Some of that trip report is included in the report, but it's a fairly detailed report that Gary and I put together. And Ed, were you on that one too?
The trip down there the phone?
On the phone.
No, I was
okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. So, of course, Gary just left the room. I just wanted to make sure he's on board. So I guess what I wanted to quickly do is summarize what I'd heard at the meeting from the main agency reps that were there. Tom, and make sure that I've got this summarized correctly,
was issues associated with upping turbine ops at B1 this time of year or during any time of year. What are the effects of putting more fish in the tail race at Bonneville and reducing spill if we use this as a control measure of reducing spill? Would we be able to test or could we pull off a test documenting the difference between moving outside the range? To answer that question, we do have a TSP one pager this year to look at for next year in FY12, an operation to where we would be testing a low end of 1% versus the best geometry. I don't think that, and I think Gary is also of the same opinion, that we don't think that we would have a detectable difference at the 9.7 to 11.3. I don't think we're going to see that. I think what we will be able to show you is a quote-unquote the low end, which we consider maybe a more poor condition compared to the best geometry. And so we're thinking we could pull something off like that as a test. I know that you said that what level of research rigor are we going to have to this? How many fish are we going to need? How many additional fish would we need to release for next year's study at a certain turbine op? Those questions need to be answered in the objectives and the research proposal. Dave Will's concern, I expressed stuff about the report, but also he endorses the range increase and when we have higher spill levels. He did bring up the concept of the 125.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I get your comments documented correctly.
Well, I'm getting old and I tend to not remember things, so.
I remember you brought up the 125.
Well, the 125 I do remember. To me, that makes sense because that's a trigger in the state waiver that you really can't go above that for a couple hours. You know, so you're really trying to stay below that 125 level.
Right.
The 130 that Russ brought up, I mean, we could probably support that to some degree if you're talking about effects on fish, but I can't support that as advocating violating the waiver standard.
Mm-hmm. So you liked it.
So that's why I was supporting the 125. I don't think I supported the 130.
So by supporting the 125, you mean when TDG goes above 125%, you go to this upper 1% range?
Yeah. You would use that. That would kick in.
You may not be able to do that, though, because the tailwater is so high. The turbines won't even run at that efficiency right now.
Well, you can ramp them up. It's just your head loss. You would be able to get more water through the units. The problem is you wouldn't. It's not going to be efficient as like your 55-foot of head.
Right.
And of course, yeah. When you need more water through those units, it's usually a high river event. So
you can get more flow through there, but you're not going to get more power. Efficient. You're not getting more power.
Yeah.
Right. So you're just taking some away from the spill.
Right. So you're reducing almost 20K out of the spill. Is what you can do. So I
think where I agreed with Russ just was that I didn't want to have something roll into the FOP this year that became written in stone.
Right. I think you wanted to have some kind of plan of action that said, under these circumstances this year, we could agree to if we hit, I remember the trigger was that Russ was going for is if you hit 130,
right.
then that emergency trigger kicks in. I think that, and correct me if I'm not wrong, you brought up the 125 and you thought that was more of a better trigger point to where we're trying to reduce spill because we're violating the 125 waiver.
Right.
Okay. So you would be in support of that. Russ's stance was he wouldn't support anything until we got one above 130. And then he went on to talk about how he got bit in the ass on a lot of other things, and he didn't want that to happen here.
There's not much ass left, I guess.
Right. So BPA was on the phone. Jason was there. They supported it. One of the contingencies about how to operate, units above and beyond. That would BPA would support that.
I think it also gives us another tool. We're, I'm sure you guys have all you've been reading in the papers about us shutting down the wind farmers from time to time. This may give us another tool to help avoid that a little bit longer if possible.
Right.
But I think I'm waiting for the revised report so I can more strongly advocate
right.
why it should be a full-time thing.
Right. And we have a revised report coming out that we can share before FPOM. We've got, I think, and I wanted to have Gary here to chat a little bit.
Good.
Gary's back.
Seattle District.
Okay. So we just kind of summarized.
Oh, okay. We're going to run Cooley out. Or not Cooley, but Cheech out. Test. Oh. Your gas.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Those fish farmers will be real happy about that.
Yeah. Well, I think they're above Joe, aren't they?
They are. They're 20 miles
they're below Joe, so this is just going to be below Joe. But they're going to overwhelm deflectors.
That's going to make a mess. The problem is, because wells will be fine. The bigger issue is if we get wells to get fully loaded, because right now there's still a lot of excess.
Yeah, they are.
That's what's caused the problem. Right?
That's what's caused it. So that's going to be an issue. Oh, well, anyway.
Okay, so
anything
I just want to... No, we just started into the discussion about Vaughn Turbine Ops, kind of summarized, synopsized what the region talked about.
Okay.
Dave's, I wanted to make sure Dave's comments were captured correctly, that he would support something closer to the 125 when we exceed 125, not up to 130. Do you want to summarize your comments from that day?
Well, I'm saying not waiting till 130.
Don't wait to 130, but start at 125.
My point was I was just saying is like we're going before we make a long-term commitment, a long-term action. We'd like to have some sort of data or something like that too. I can take that home to my guys and say, see, there's no problem. But if we want to make operational changes, that 20K for dissolved gas, debris issues, that makes total sense to me. That and maybe what Karen and I talked a little bit was maybe make a change form in the FPP saying when we start seeing these issues, that we can talk through triggers and that kind of stuff. I mean, the 125, I wouldn't be so worried about that because you also have a 7Q10 that when your flow's above that, you are basically given, I would say, a free pass. You're still trying to do what you can, but you don't get exceeds waivers. You don't get exceeds.
There's the biology, too. Though. I mean, we're pushing 130 right now, 128 at Warrendale. I mean, that was better. It's higher in the gas than the tail race itself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw three things into
a change form
with three triggers in, at least for this year. I mean, Ed and I talked about this earlier. I'd like to see the operation go forward without any issues. But for this year, what I would at least want to see is that we implement the 20K difference that first one, whatever it's capable of. You know, how many units are actually running. Right now, there are 10 running, so we get about a full 20K improvement. And that would be when we exceed 100 KCFS spill. That's for no fallback. So that's for 100K spill, we get above 100K in the spring, only in the spring. I would like to see this implemented, at least for that 20K band. And that's the don't fall back issues, and that's for Sea Lion. And that's a real loss. That's a real hit. And we all know that the inflection point, we thought it used to be 120, well, it's really closer to 100 because of the...
That's actually 110.
So 110, then we can pick 110, whatever you want.
We'll figure out a number.
I would pick a number that thought the adult passage, the adult fallback rose. Okay, mm-hmm. So we've seen that, it's around 100, 120. So at that point, I would want to see us implement this operation on the first powerhouse. The other operation would be when we exceed gas levels.
Reduce TDG in excess of 120.
That's going to have to be
right?
120. None of us are going to be able to stand out there and say 125 is fine when the state agencies are looking at us to do everything we can to reduce gas.
We manage everything to 120. I mean, as long as we can.
And we say that too, but I can't stand there and say, well, we're only going to worry about it when it's 130. That's something that you're not going to win that argument on that.
Well, that's why we're not going to make a change then. That's why we're not going to support it. If we're going to get back to 120, that's silliness. I would say I would be looking at GBT monitoring. If you're not seeing GBT signs, I'm not going to sweat this one.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Well,
I don't want to wait till I see damage to fish before I do something that's an operation.
Well, damage to fish like rank one, I'm not worried. If you see like three fish with rank one, I'm not
going to get up in front of a judge and say that.
I would. I just did today.
Okay, good enough. We'll see you in court.
And there's actually a lawsuit going on right now. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Let that... But
our point is we're not going to get out in front of, we're not going to, there's litigation going on, total gas waivers, that kind of stuff. We're not going to be wanting to really bury ourselves to look at a hard, basically, total gas level
per se. We already are. 120 is what we got. It's a limit. It's our limit. I'd say once you get above that, you need to do what you can to reduce it. If you have something that's pretty much a no-brainer to do, then you should.
It's a no-brainer for you guys. For us, we don't see it as a no-brainer because we can't verify whether we're doing better.
Well, then I'm gonna make you guys put your cards on the table. We'll go to Riyadh over this one.
Really?
Yes.
This is what you guys want to go to over Riyadh?
I will.
This is so important.
This is one step at a time. We're trying to improve.
There's so many bigger issues, and this is the one you guys want to
pick up. One of those, but this is an issue that needs to go forward.
We've got a lot of data to help support this.
Dispute resolution.
Yeah.
Dispute resolution?
This will be a dispute.
Yeah, I will make this a dispute. State law, too. I mean, that's the other thing.
Well, that's where I have trouble trying to endorse an operation that says violate this law.
What law?
The waiver standards, the water quality standards.
Right. We also have the 1%. So yeah.
I guess if you look at it in the respect of the biop as a law, you're violating that.
So there's a couple of law. Right. So, but the biop doesn't say.
But that's why I'm asking for more ammunition in this.
Well, it doesn't say. The biop says operate what we feel is best for fish.
Right.
So it doesn't say operate one, and it says that currently we believe that's the 1% range. But it doesn't say that as you learn more, you can't adapt that. And that was the intent of the biop. Wrote that section.
Yeah, I know. I wish this adaptive management you're embracing on this was much more widespread than the whole biop.
I do,
and that's why I get a little irritable that we somehow can pick certain things like this that have a certain bent and a certain benefit. Somehow we'll magically move up to Riyadh and other ones.
Well, what else do you have? Well, I'll jump on those too that you think will help fish. But
is it Lomo?
I would like to do that, but I can't.
I thought it was important enough to re-chat about this to make sure that Gary was involved in the discussion.
One other,
he's got number three trigger.
Three.
Okay,
my third one is going to be to allow operational flexibility to back off the operation at second powerhouse for spring creek fish and other fish.
Well, for when? What time frame are you talking about?
Whenever we're seeing debris problems at that, or maybe even at any time. We need to think about that.
Debris problems, because, but also we could implement this during when we have these mid-range operations at B2 when we do special ops for Spring Creek fish coming by for the 2 months.
Well, and also, we're going to have to scale issues.
Anytime we're concerned about operating near the upper end of the operating range at Powerhouse 2, we want to back that down a bit. We're going to need some flexibility according to BPA. Flexibility. I want that flexibility to come through the first powerhouse operation range. So now, as far as studies go in the future, to move beyond these sort of limited, implementation, we need to talk about that because I'm not going to wait for us to do the foolproof study at the first powerhouse to determine whether this is a significant difference or not. I think that'll never happen. So what I am going to do, though, tomorrow is propose a new study that will look at the best operating point. So this is just a point, best operation, open geometry operation against the lower end of 1%. Mm-hmm. And that is looking at the theory that we're implementing here. It isn't NGRs. It'd probably be at John Day or someplace where we already have the range available to us. But what I'm hearing from the agencies is that, well, we haven't proven that this is a benefit. But you're right. We're looking at the model and we're saying, wow, this looks good.
We have biological data.
We do. We have the bloom tank studies, but there's pressure issues. There's pressure issues.
The standard unit when it was tuned did better than the MGR.
Do you feel there's a problem with we were operating at Bonneville with balloon tag studies at this point, and we saw the best survival with balloon tag fish at that point. I'm not saying that that's the best operating point, but it does say that there's probably not a major problem associated with it, unless it's pressure.
I don't think there is.
If it's pressure, then that's something that we could test at any dam.
Was that the same point as peak open geometry?
It was. Yeah, those were roughly 13. Yeah, it's roughly the same.
2000.
Okay. 2000?
This is 99.
This is RMG 99.
99, 2000.
That was just before me. So
we do have, but we do have a study.
It's in the report. It's in the white paper.
You know. Oh, that paper. Oh, the one that's referenced there?
Yeah, yeah, there's
the Norwood study.
There's the Norwood study, and then there's the RT study.
It was post-implementation of...
I think my other, maybe, I think I wrote this down as a recommendation, is have people be able to access those documents. Tell them where to find them.
Put a link.
Okay. They're on our website.
Yeah,
I'll say...
Because people may not know where to find
them. Yeah.
That is decadal time frame.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Someone's been
around.
Okay.
You just need to have those people involved.
Okay.
What's one of us do? Do you want us to talk about the vote cases and issues we have with it?
Yeah.
So
I would be happy to entertain that discussion, and I would be right along there with you. But I still think that after what we've spent enough time on this issue, I'm convinced it's a better operating point. I realize it takes 20 case spill. We blew by that this year in about, an hour. So it really wouldn't matter this year. Other years, you might skim along at that point for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it is in excess of the spill that we are requiring. It's not as in as excess capacity spill, obviously. So, you know, that's what we're talking about.
So is CUMP just going to do remodeling of the whole survival, do that? Because CUMP basically assumes excess capacity spill.
That's a good question. And that's bring it up. Throw it out there.
Hey, if you guys are proposing this, I'm assuming you guys have looked at this and what the effects are going to be.
I've beat my head against that one already, too. I'll let you do that for a while.
But no, I'm just saying, if you guys want to make these changes, I would assume you guys would do your due diligence to do this kind of review.
Wouldn't
CUMP
show an increase in dense from spillway survival is usually lower out of the pond?
That's a good point. It probably would. Well, less spill would be better survival.
Or is that? I'm saying, but you... This is the kind of stuff, this is what we're going to go down.
It depends, that question depends completely on the historical data set that we're going to encompass and how much actual excess capacity spill is going on at the time. Probably not much, long ago. So, be careful with that. But that would have to be a retrospective study.
Okay, so the plan is to move forward with a change form for B1 ops under various conditions. Those conditions will be laid out. One is we'll implement the 20K difference or the new range. When we exceed 100K spill for fallback for spring protection only, reduce sea lion issues associated with the B1 tail race. Reduce TD.
Would you say that is instead of just in the spring to say that when sea lions are present?
Right.
That's the whole point. If it's just fallback, I'm not as concerned about it. But if sea lions are there, then that's what we need to be.
Then we can put again how many sea lion constitutes a concern. 2, 10, 20?
Any.
One or more.
Reduce TDG.
Done.
So impacts associated with TDG at 100%, 120% or greater. So anytime we're bumping above 120. And then also we'll put in there, this allows flexibility ops for spring creek releases or when we want to back down on B2 operations due to debris or fish condition. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
So that's the baby step that we take forward as sort of an approach.
And this is the proposal that you anticipate taking to FMOC.
Yes.
I just want to make sure it's clear enough.
Right.
Yes.
This isn't a done deal.
This is not a done deal. This is an FPOM discussion. All we're doing is throwing out.
It looks, according to this actual flow forecast, we may have opportunity to use this all the way through middle of August.
This year.
So, okay. I don't want to beat that dead horse.
No, that's
the
horse
dead. The horse is dead. Okay, B2 corner collector, quick game voice update. I think I sent...
Wait a minute.
Okay. Yes, Mr.
Frederick? We didn't go around the room looking for additional agenda topics.
Oh, we didn't. You're right. We did not.
But I have one.
Okay.
And it's B2 turbine ops.
Okay.
And I want to talk about the same issue for the second powerhouse. Tom's going to love this.
Yeah, sure.
So whenever we get to it, if you're going to throw me to the bottom, I'm fine. I'm here.
Well, let's just do that. Can we do that now?
Let's do it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I would like to do is, since we have all this extra money, we're just floundering in, I'd like to see us, and where's George? I'd like to see us pick up the V2 model investigation
because we saw some concerns with our kind of preliminary look, but the model wasn't set up correctly, according to Bob Davidson. He said there's some calibration issues here, so be careful what you see and what you say. I'd like to get that going as soon as possible. You know, I brought it up at SCT as a FY12 issue, but sooner the better because, well, you know, we're running it without screens right now. So the better we know, the more we know about how to operate those units, the better we can do it.
So you want to take a look at running without screens? Is what you want to study?
No, I just want to know what best turbine operating range is for that powerhouse, given any time, just any time.
Why do you think we have something different now than we have? I'm assuming what they did back when this was originally built, they did that, didn't they?
Well,
or did they just adopt 1%?
Yeah,
1%. So you want to basically do what you're doing in Powerhouse 1, now Powerhouse 2, looking at best.
We want to look at that, yes. Because we've been...
You love beads. You love the beads. You love chasing beads, don't you?
Well,
they did not. When they built that powerhouse, they did not do a physical model like we've done now.
It is one tool that we have. That if I can get you guys to ever go to Mississippi and look at it, you might actually learn something. But
forest for the trees, son. Forest for the trees.
So what you're saying is this preliminary look you said, even though the model wasn't quite calibrated correctly, you showed the problem at the lower end of the 1% range.
So what we want to do is look at it, because we looked at the original, looked at the way it's set up now, and it's not right. But there was a lot of turbulence, a very pronounced rope at the bottom of this, at the bottom of the runner running off the hub.
At the lower.
Looked really bad. And that's where we run, at the low end. And we've tried to stay away from that. I've advised not to go to the low end many times over Spring Creek issues. Well, you know, is that real? Or maybe we can go to the low end. Maybe it doesn't really matter that those runners are different than anything else we have on the river. They're set deeper in the tail race, plant sigmas, higher at those units. That means that there's less pressure. There's a lot of issues there that would cause us to believe that it's different than anything else. And so they've got the model. It just hasn't been calibrated. So they need to go through that process of calibration, get it set up, and then what?
Nothing. I'm just glad you spent all this quality time playing with turbines.
Hey, what else do we have to do?
I know. Oh, there's a few things.
So aren't you glad that at least somebody is?
It could be important.
Given the fact that how many lamprey go through these units? And you're the one who keeps telling us to pull the screens in McNary, so we ought to be doing it there, too. Careful where you go.
I want to talk to someone else, but that's not my job of advocating.
Anyway.
So you're asking more or less TSP.
I know.
Gary, you're specifically George Medina and TSP,
yes,
to speed up the process of the V2 modeling investigation.
Right, if we can put some money
if we have funds available.
I think, given that we're running that powerhouse without screens, that we've got our units over there, we're probably running with the best possible upper end right now.
Anyway. We are.
But I'd like to know, you know, what that looks like.
Right. Well, I think it could be fairly easy to take the screens out of the model,
time-wise and effort, but it's something that we can do now, and it may help survival.
Agreed.
It's one part of the buy-off. It's required. So,
okay.
Not going to leave any stone unturned.
So we're not anticipating screens being able to go back in until August?
July, if you're lucky.
The trigger. Tammy's got the trigger.
The trigger is when the project is able to maintain clean BBSs, and it will be a while before that can be done.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
The snow hasn't
melted.
About
the time that all the fish are long gone, we'll be able to put the screen.
That's right.
Spend all the money that'll fall.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is a weird year.
It's flooded too, so it's great down there.
That's is that the next topic?
So I was going to ask you: is the overflow word underwater yet?
Yes. Yeah, I heard that it is.
The upper is not. The lower is.
The upper is in the water. Not
is it underwater?
Yeah, it's not
underwater. They get great fishing platform, by the way.
Oh, the upper is above. Yeah.
Yeah, the upper's still above.
It's being
still
pushed. I wouldn't stand out there because the waves are going over it. Yeah. Which works good to keep the gulls off.
And can you just keep that sprinkler going? That's excellent. I love
that. I don't think we have a sprinkler anymore.
I'm a little concerned.
No, the sprinkler's on top.
Over the high fault.
You think it's still there?
Is the question.
No, on the high fault, the sprinkler's on the high fault. It's a great photo that this you got this much concrete above the water, and then there's this little sprinkler.
There's not a whole lot of drop between the outfall and that facility that's located right there, is there?
Yeah, the basement of the facility has water in it.
It's flooded.
Which is, it was designed. Right.
Yeah, it was. We knew that. That's why the doors are all like
it's
small monitoring, private swimming.
Make sure it.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's okay. We have a large wetland area there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wetland area has crossed over the parking lot.
It's nice.
And
back
it's
fence
up
is
to
about
the top
7 feet underwater.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing, is the top of that fence, you see that, and you think, wow, that is deep. I mean, you're not going to walk through
somebody
that.
Getting pictures, right?
<Yes, laughs>
That's when you realize it. Even though you put on your rubber boots,
Sunday.
Yeah,
you're
not
going to
make it.
So
it's
funny on Sunday.
Yeah, Tammy, you got some
I do,
pictures.
And
yeah.
I will download those and share.
Okay, are we hear that. I'll move that forward with George. So we'll capture
yeah.
it here.
Okay,
notes.
Thank you. So I guess the other question,
yeah.
the process for is this going to go to STT and prioritize this extra funds, or is the court is going to take the money they get and put it willingly where they can?
Was that already in the process? It's already in the process.
I don't try to think.
I don't know if it was where it is.
Well, just check the box. Check it's SCT.
Yeah. We'll say that this has been a request that's been brought up that for extra funding for FY.
Because we were supposed to follow that prioritization as best we could. Now, you might not do any of the stuff that's higher prioritized because we just can't put money this year, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It may be dead.
If they can do it.
Okay.
I think, yeah. It was
for us, it's telling Erdic to do some, you know, go down there and start calibrating the model this FY. Yeah,
they started working on it, and then George pulled it out because of the lack of funding.
Right.
You know, with the Ice Harbor stuff.
Yeah. They may not have Davidson's strapped.
Davidson is. I'm not sure that will.
Hasn't he retired?
That's, I'm not worried about it. I mean, that's,
what?
Yeah.
Like, we can transfer the money to him. And,
Let's try, and if there's something that
yeah.
stops it, that's
yeah.
fine, as long as it's not Tom.
Just kind of where it's not.
Okay. B2 water collector data hoist update. I think most of you are aware that we awarded the hoist contract. So that's in the process of being fabbed right now. I think they've started some of the metal work. Not on site, but off site.
So the garage door button will be ready for next year.
That's right.
Cool.
Once the corner collector goes closed, the contractor will come in and start, you know. I'm guessing it'll be closer to October, November time frame when they bring the hoist in and that kind of stuff.
Are you going to also match up any routing work in the car country you're going to have to do at the same time, so we don't
right
we do this last year.
This last year, you know, we wanted to do some repairs,
yeah.
you know, inside the corner collector that will be going on at the same time.
Cool.
Yep. And the PM and technical leader are already on board with that.
The person started to tilt as the waves hit.
Yeah, sorry about that.
What is tilting?
It's not, but the waves are from the spillway are slapping pretty hard against the corner collector
splash over
section.
Oh,
is that
really?
Complete?
Over
is
the
that
top of it, actually. So
I thought it was
is it supported
the
out
yeah,
into the river?
Yeah. It's supported.
They said something earlier about debris getting, if that thing collapses and pushes stuff downstream, that's on the same side of the river. And so would it potentially push debris as far down as the corner collector? And
think about the apron?
Yeah, if the apron collapsed, pushed chunks down
smokes.
Into the...
That would be not
oh,
going to go that far.
No way.
Big chunk of
water. Depends on how much flow you got in the river.
Wow. That jumped into my head. I'm like, oh,
it was kind of a...
Oh, my
strike.
God. Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to break up and fall out before it ever makes it.
It's going to have some deep holes there, so
hopefully
it goes.
Yeah.
Didn't
it's going to go in that big, huge hole. Huh?
Didn't everybody see the movie 2012? We're starting early this year.
Oh, yeah, we don't need to do repairs on anything.
It's all going down.
Okay, Turbine Survival Program update. not a lot to report other than, you know, we have one-pagers that we're going to be talking about for next year's program. We'll be chatting about those tomorrow. So there's not a lot to update there. John Day Cop.
It's the cop is still we sent it. I sent it to Division a month ago, and they've been so busy with FOPs and court and everything else that I haven't. I need to check back with them again and see where they're at. So I'll do that.
Well, I mean, we're gonna have to kind of wait to see if we want to pick Operation Freeways before we really update the COP, anyways.
Well, this is updating it through 10. Okay. So it doesn't include the. So by the time we get it done, we'll have to do it again.
The addendum includes what?
It's updating with the 08, 09, and 10 data.
Okay.
And actions taken since then is really all it's doing. So. But that's sitting at Division.
Is that on Dan's desk?
I think so, yeah. Poor Dan. Hope he speed reads. But, So I'll check on that and see where they're at. And hopefully be able to get that out to folks fairly soon.
What's CAES, do you know?
Yeah, that's the tail race stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say that's all kind of encompassed in the.
Okay. And what does that stand for again?
It's looking at spillway tail race alternatives, like
evaluation study. Yeah, I don't know what C stands for.
Yeah, let's see. COPS.
COP maybe, or
comprehensive. I don't know. Comprehensive. Ooh.
It's the tail race stuff.
Yeah. Guys with tires must think about things like that.
That's
what we have. That's what I teach before.
It's not coming to me, Dave.
Something evaluation study.
Yeah, it has to do with all of the tail race mods that were identified as alternatives. And carrying those things forward.
Alternative engineering analysis.
Deflector optimization, you know, we two fitter wings back, or three fitter wings back, I think now, we talked about whether or not long-term planning for any, you know, deflector optimization, if we saw any issue to move forward. At that time, nothing was moved forward with any. People were happy with, you know, the current configuration of Bay 20.
You could do it in Bay 1. Yeah, be tweaking the deflector in Bay 1. That should change the elevation of the
Bay. Right. Yeah. So anyway, the deflector optimization part of that, it's done. We're not moving forward anymore.
I think this
singing wires and singing pole are taken care of.
You know what? I don't have an update on them.
They're fine. That's amazing. They had to do a little bit of work, but they are quiet and normal. You know the wind's blowing, but you don't think a truck is running next to you.
Good.
Great.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that.
Good to hear. I don't have any update on that, do you?
Which
letter update, the Dallas North and East?
No, I don't.
That's TAFE, and that's what we had the list of alternatives with AWS.
And we had a meeting fairly recently on that.
It probably was
a month ago, at least, but May, sometime or other. Early May. So.
And he didn't give
summarize
me anything
that for us, please.
The meeting?
Yeah.
There was a meeting.
Excellent. Hold on.
What was the date?
It was.
The quiz. You're in charge.
I don't know.
May's not in
charge. May something.
No, I mean, it's like the main thing was.
Do you want the summary in there?
I think the main point was they had like 15 alternatives.
We whittled down some of them.
Six or seven?
Yeah, two, six or seven. From 15 to like around, I think it was.
Yeah, there's still a bunch.
There's still a fair number.
Yeah. And the number one that came out on top was to add another turbine unit.
Yeah.
So the meeting was on May 9th.
I think BPA is going to gladly give up that 5K of flow and 2.5 or whatever it is.
How long is taking that to Rioc?
I don't think it would be the case there. You know, I can blow you guys out of the water, but I can't.
So what's the next step then? What do we expect to have happen next? He's going to get a little more detail to him now for the next.
The next step.
Carry forward the six or seven
alternatives. And then look to see if there's like some other just like non-starch or that kind of stuff.
The alternatives report will be out in the winter of 2011 and 12. The DDR plans and specs will be out in mid-13. A position document should be out this month.
Okay.
Twitter.
Why don't you get out?
Okay.
Can't wait to get these things checked off.
Items 15 and 16,
the
B2MG team and the B2 Orifices team, we've got a sizable amount of information to cover. We've set aside some special time for them to come down. Brad's in charge, so
what I was thinking
is if we could take a quick half hour lunch, reassemble. What?
Yeah.
Grossash would be back.
Yeah.
Do we need to move it into the room next door?
Well, we're gonna have a PowerPoint projector going. Okay. So
how many more people are gonna come down?
Five.
We can move to this room back here. It's quite a bit bigger.
Okay. So we can move to the next room next door. I'll go get the PowerPoint machine and assemble the rest of the team. Be back down here a little bit after noon.
Sounds good.
George is...
He's on leave.
Okay.
So, he's not here. But,
I
was looking for this.
It'll have to wait. Or I'll take some good notes. It's a skewer. Okay, so let's reassemble a little over a half hour in that room.
So you're going to talk to B2 Orifices?
Yeah, we're going to talk Orifices and B2.
Okay.
We're going to have a joint session.
Ben?
Yes?
Will there still be the same call-in number for that?
What I'll do is go into my office and call in so we don't lose it when we unplug this phone.
Yeah.
Call back in then.
Yeah, call back at like 12:05 or 12:10.
Okay, great, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
If you have trouble with the conference line, I can help you. So.
Oh, okay. So,
thank you.
Hey, Gideon.
I'm on the guy right now.
I'm going to run upstairs and call in on my phone.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe on Mike's.
Is the room open
hey,
next door, Brad?
Yeah, it's right here. Okay. No, don't hang up.
I can't believe we got this many agenda items. I was really impressed. First one took 45 minutes.
Yeah, once you hang up, then they slide gone.
Oh, okay.
Then I have to call a
flyer. Like I said, I got one instantly as long as you can cover up.
Okay.
So well, it's Monday then, huh?
Yes, Monday. I was crafting.
Say by your cell phone.
So we're going to move.
Yeah, I could.
And then you can drop up to your.
Yeah,
one other thing.
Move our stuff over next door right now?
Yeah, if you want to, yeah.
Next time.
Definitely.
Is it out fishing? Or dredging for a debris?
Get a reception I have in here with the cell phone. Actually, it doesn't look too bad.
Shouldn't be too bad. I have a pretty good card reception. So your cell phone should be similar. Do you want me to include the notes from some of the special fitterwigs we've had? Like the Dal's East Fish Ladder, because we referenced them.
Okay.
I want the phone moved, but I want to call into it so I don't lose the conference line.
Oh, you'll just have to call back in.
I know, but if everyone hangs up,
then
it cancels the call for the rest of the time.
Oh,
it's like if you don't call in within 15 minutes of when it starts, you lose the line. And so if everyone hangs up, then it's dead. So all I need to do is call in and keep it open.
Oh,
from another phone.
Oh,
while you move it.
Oh, all right. I understand now. Let's see, where's it going?
Just right next door.
I think so. Oh, any.
Okay. I can move it now. It's cool.